sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcos, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig. Here's
your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio, live tonight. Not in the Racetime Radio studio, but we got a cool studio here tonight. We're live from Winging It in St. John's, Newfoundland. Not the one down on George Street. No, we've moved up to the other larger, bigger location. See, Kim, the owner, just walked in. But, hey, what a night we've got here. We've had a tremendous time out here on the Rock, and the night is going to continue. The fun is going to continue, and we've got lots of racing to talk about tonight. Got a lot of people here. Let's bring in, first of all, Jerry Paxton. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm loving this place. We had so much fun today just doing the tour, playing tourists, having a look around at the city. What an awesome place. And after a little visit to Signal Hill, I am so impressed.
Yeah.
That is a view you cannot get anywhere else.
Yeah, if you've never seen it, you got to get to our Facebook page. I posted a video, just absolutely gorgeous up on Signal Hill, and this province is just never-ending beauty. I know it's called The Rock, but I'll tell you, there's lots to see and do in this province. We did a bunch of it last night. We're going to get to all of that tonight. We did have a real, real good time. Eastbound International Speedway, what a place. And I know we're going to be talking about it, Jerry, for a long time.
Well, that's a facility that it's in its infancy. We can see it, and I know they see it too. It's a phenomenal facility, and Pat Squires, the owner, just continues to add to it, make it better, put more into it. And you know what? Next time we come here, I guarantee you it'll be bigger than it is now. It's just going to grow. They haven't even started down that road yet. We can see it. The racers here on the Rock, unbelievable. Wow, what a bunch of guys. They go at it hard, and they're learning. This is all new to them, and they're learning it, and they're doing really well. That race last night was absolutely incredible. And if you haven't already downloaded the ECC 125 from racetimeradio.com, what's holding you back?
Yeah, you got to get some time. You got to download it, have a listen to it. We definitely had a great time doing it. Also along tonight, we got him from New Brunswick, of course, our Turn 3-4 announcer and our color guy that keeps us going inside the race cars. But tonight, he's going to add some other intelligence. We got Brad Mann along. What do you think, big guy?
Well, it was an exciting experience here, Joe, and the facility, just mind-boggling to look at a facility in the middle of a valley like that. A little bit of rain yesterday, and it blew in. It didn't even affect the racetrack. It just sort of like blew over the racetrack, and we saw a really, really good racing, hard racing. All divisions from the Bandoleros to the Legends to the Hobby Class. We didn't know until the last lap who was going to win, so that was very exciting. And the people and the racers here, they're all new to this, like Jerry said, 2 years into it, and they're all ears, and they want to pick your brain and find out. And we had dedications of drivers with engines on pit road getting put in a race car. Unbelievable. And special thing I saw was track owner Patty Squires right down in the pit helping, running his John Deere loader and getting cars off the track and helping the guy put an engine in. So it was great experience and great view, and we got the most awesome wings in Wing It the other night. Unbelievable. Food's great.
Yeah, and Jerry and I almost had to buy a collar. We were talking about it earlier today. Going to get a collar with leash so that we didn't lose Brad. Big guy to lose, but I'll tell you, this city, you can lose people in a hurry. But we got a great program lined up for you tonight. We're live from Winging It, and we are going to be winging it tonight. We're going to talk not only about the ECC 125 that happened last night, but we also got to dive into next week, gentlemen. We're also going to look back at some of the winners from the weekend, but we got to dive into next weekend. We've got Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year. It's all going to take place at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. We got the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series coming in. And in hour number one tonight, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Truck Series. We are we got a lot of guests coming on the program. We're going to hear from Cameron Haley. Ended up with a fifth-place finish over the weekend. Coming into Canadian Tire Motorsport Park with some good momentum. Cameron has been here. He was here last year. Did well on the road course. Going to do real good, I believe, this year in that Thor Sport number 13 truck. We're also going to hear from one of the owners at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. The infamous Ron Fellows is going to join us on this program. We'll have Mull on the hotline. We'll also hear from Gary Klute. Big news at the end of last weekend. It announced Gary Klute is going to drive the 51 KDM entry, the one we always see Kyle Busch in the truck series. We're going to see Gary Klute in that truck this time around next weekend for the Silverado 250. We'll hear from Spencer Gallagher, of course, a Chevy driver with GMS. Big impact. You mentioned it, Jerry. Big, big impact for Spencer on the weekend. Good to see he's okay, and we hope to get him on tonight.
Yeah, that was a really big hit at Michigan, and I got to hand it over to Spencer because his concern was more about Christopher Bell than himself. I know he got into trouble with the NASCAR officials because you're not allowed to get out of your truck and run around the racetrack. You stay with it, but it was a hard hit, and as I was reading in his comments, he doesn't even want to know how fast he was going when he hit him, and the impact was that big. So kudos to him, being concerned about the driver, but also looking forward to the road course. I think we're going to hear some pretty good comments from Spencer.
Yeah, we will. He's a colorful guy. Had him on the program lots all the way through his career, now up into, of course, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Full-time competitor, normally with the Legion on the side of that Chevy. We'll find out who he's got coming on that truck coming up into Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. A lot of live guests tonight we're going to have on the program as well in hour number two. We're set up at the Wild Wing, looking at some of the different guys that have come through. Of course, we got Mike James with us. He was with us all last night, guys. We may have to turn him into one of the Racetime Radio broadcast guys and bring him along.
Well, we'll work on him. We'll special guest appearances. I think Mike's got enough on his plate. He's not looking for another job.
Well, we can always get sideboards on that.
That's true. That's true.
We're going to hear from Mike. Yeah. We're going to hear from him tonight. We're also, I seen Patty Squires go by. We'll try and get a mic welded into his hand for a couple of minutes. The owner of Eastbound International Speedway, Joey McComb, has come through. We'll try and tie down Joey. Seen St. George. One of the guys from St. George's team is here. We've got a lot.
You're sure it's not the St. Pierre team?
No, it's not St. Pierre.
Yeah, sure it is.
We're just picking on Brad because last night it looked like a UFC fight, so he decided to change the name.
Well, I just saw the guy using the bumper a little rough, and I don't know why Mike picked up on it. I don't know what he was doing listening that close to me.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? All these guys, last night on the racetrack, I don't think there was any love being shared on that racetrack. They were going after it. Here we are tonight at Winging It on Hebron Way in St. John's. They're all sitting together having drinks and food and having a great time together. That is what racing is all about.
Yeah, you said it right. And that really is what it's all about. It's going to be an interesting night. If you're in the St. John's area, you know where Winging It is. Get on out here. Come on, let's fill up the bar. We're going to have a lot of fun out here tonight. We're going to have some great race guests on the program. And, of course, we're going to have a lot of big stars on the hotline talking about the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Silverado 250 weekend at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. As a matter of fact, I believe I've got a couple VIP tickets to give away to the Silverado 250 weekend. We'll do it tonight on this program, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I hope you can stay tuned in here on Racetime Radio. So glad you could do that. We've got Sue back in the Racetime Radio studio, and it's going to be her maiden voyage on bringing up our callers and running them down through the line. But I know Sue and Glenda are back there. They will get us hooked up. She does every single week, and I know she's going to do another great job. But let's have a look at some of the other happenings in Canada over the weekend. Big news for the Parts for Trucks Tour, seeing the winner. How about it, guys? The 99 of Craig Slonwhite picks up the win at Petty International Raceway last night.
Well, Slonwhite earlier in the season, Joe, was at an earlier race, and he dominated that show that night. And he lost. He had some brake trouble late, and it spun out in turn one and two, and it cost him the feature that night, and he would have had a win that night. Also, Cole Butcher's been strong there all year. Also finished third last night. But how about the run by Darren? McKinnon, the posse from PEI, picks up a second, and he's in the hunt in the points there, too. And Dylan Blakehorn in fourth. And we had the guy from the island, Robbie.
Robbie McEwen.
He picks up a top five, and he hasn't. That's probably his best finish this year in the tour.
You may be correct there, because he had a really good run going in the IWK 250 before disaster struck. And, yeah, he wrinkled up the side of the car. We did see him at Scotia Speed World for the Cat 250. And I believe Robbie set a record for pit stops that night. That 40 car was down pit road a lot. They adjusted on it and got him a decent car, but it ended up losing a few laps in the process. But good to see he's starting to come along. That black 40 machine is a beautiful race car.
Yeah, all those guys off the island still running unbelievably strong. It's really good to see. And as we talk about the potato posse, I felt bad. Greg Proud didn't have a good night last night at all. He's at the bottom of the running order. Looked like he had some mechanical issues that took him out way too early out of that race.
We have a look at some of the other happenings. The APC series presented by Grisdale was green at Sunset Speedway. Those guys had a tremendous night. Having a look into Victory Lane, the 2015 champion, Dale Shaw, ended up winning his first race of 2016 at Sunset. So good run for Dale.
Really good run for Dale. That was his strongest showing so far this year. So, you know, when you're the defending champion, there's always that added pressure. Everybody expects you to come out and be strong and repeat. So kudos to Dale Shaw for showing them he still got it.
How about on the Cup side of things? We just finished watching it out here at Winging It. Beautiful TV sets, great food and beer. Come on out and join us. But we watched it on the television today. How about it? The 42 Kyle Larson nails his first NASCAR Sprint Cup victory.
He's been knocking on the door for a few races. Felt bad for Chase Elliott. Sitting on the pit wall after they interviewed him. And Chase is really hard on himself, and he was just explaining and sorry that he let his crew down, and he said he spun the tires. But they both got sideways. It was funny to see the last restart because the 21 car of Blaney was pushing the back of Chase Elliott, and then we had Kalowski pushing the back of the 42 car. And they were completely sideways, Joe, on the restart. And it's just that the 24 spun the tires worse than the 42, and they looked about even, and Chase was on his way to win with a late caution. He had probably a half a turn length ahead of the 42 car Larson, and late caution changed the picture again.
Yeah, it does. And Michigan, Roger does a fantastic job with that racetrack. Love watching those cars fly around that speedway. You get a chance to go to Michigan next year, you got to check it out. But dynamite race. I know when we go back through the Racetime Radio archives, I can pull out, and I may do it next week now that Kyle has won his first race. We'll go back into the archives, pull out an interview that I got with Kyle Larson when he was a youngster, and I'm talking probably 13 years old, and getting into a sprint car. Wasn't a World of Outlaw yet, just into a sprint car, but it was big times for Kyle Larson. We go all the way back. I was there the first win at New Smyrna Speedway and got his words when he got out of the race car, so good for Kyle Larson. Kind of reminds me of a young Josh Collins going down to New Smyrna Speedway and doing his thing. Goes to Victory Lane last night in the ECC 125 at Eastbound Park Speedway. And I know we'll catch up with Josh. He's going to join us at Winging It tonight.
Yeah, and he did it the hard way last night, going to the back and having to pick his way all the way back to the front through the traffic. So kudos to Josh, but he is showing the guys out here how it's done, and they're learning. It's exactly what we said. We watched a lot of those guys last night. They're good. They may not have as much polish as some of the guys in other divisions elsewhere, but the other guys elsewhere may not want to come to the Rock, because on home turf, these guys would be very tough.
Yeah, we've seen a number of cars last night that really were coming along real good. The 29 car's got to be the surprise for me, guys. I watching that race, I seen Faye's car out there. I seen him starting to come up into the top five and into the top 10, but he really exploded right near the end. I kind of thought Josh may have burned up the tires on that race car. 29 could get him. But Josh, crafty veteran that he is, kept that 56 pointed the right way, and away he went.
We also had the 74 car, had a great run of Groves. He was sort of saving stuff, and I think what hurt him was the last restart. The outside lane didn't seem to be the place to be, and he had saved stuff, and he was also chasing down Collins late in the race till that last caution come out. So it's kind of ironic that we had a 29 Fahey here. We have a 29 Fahey at Speedway 660. So we did a double take when we saw it on the list and said, that's the same number as Greg Fahey over in Speedway 660. That's won a championship four or five times over there at Speedway 660. So it's kind of ironic, same number, same name.
And Mitchell Fahey in that 29 did an amazing job last night. He was one of those drivers, didn't make a lot of noise early. You really didn't kind of pay attention or notice him. And, boy, once he by the time you noticed him and where he was moving. He was on his way to the front, and a great show by him. If that had been the ECC 130
or 150.
Or yep. 150, we might have had somebody different in victory lane.
Would have been cool, too, you guys, and I can't help but notice the number 22. Brendan McFarland, that car looked fantastic early in the race. Unfortunately, wasn't able to finish the race. I think that kid's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, he does, and he was kind of down late in the race. I interviewed him after the race was over, Joe, and there was a wreck happening in front of him, and he decided to go high. And when you're in these race cars, everything happens so fast. You got a split second to make a deal. In your mind, you either go high or low, and he just went high, and he got caught up in it. Rookie, really good, runs out of Josh Collins' shop. They kind of work together, and a very nice-looking race car with Mountain Dew, Coors Light on, and winging it. Beautiful race car.
Well, we'll get to more on that Edward Collins contracting 125, but, gentlemen, we're going to switch gears here. We're going to bring on Canada's only NASCAR Camping World Series truck driver. We got him on the hotline, and it's Cameron Haley getting ready to go for Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Cameron, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Not a bad weekend for you. Got a top five out of that one, and you're back up into the top 10 in those NASCAR Camping World Truck Series points. Got to feel good for you.
Yeah, you know, it's been a whirlwind of a season so far. It seems like we've had a lot of bad luck and a lot of bad finishes, but when the luck goes our way and we just have a clean race, nothing happens, we get a top five. So it seems to be real good or real bad. So we've definitely been putting a streak of pretty decent finishes together, running second at Bristol and had a parts failure, which really hurt us in the point standings. But it was great to get that top five at Michigan here yesterday, and wish we could have got that win and be locked in the chase, but we got Canadian Tire Motorsports Park coming up this weekend, and I see no better place than to get in the chase in my home country.
Absolutely. And Cameron, how important is it to come back to a track that you have faced in Canadian Tire Motorsport Park? The 13 Thor Sport Toyota was pretty quick there last year. What's it mean to you to come back again? You got the notebook a little heavier, or are those notes going to come into play?
Yeah, you know, as many notes as you can get on a track, the better. And this is one of the few tracks on the circuit that I'll be going to for a third time now. And like you alluded to last year, we were really fast, led a bunch of laps, and got taken out there towards the end of the race and ended up bending a bunch of stuff, still finished seventh. But this year we're definitely going to be looking for that win. I'm sure you'll see some crazy strategy, pit strategy we'll be playing. We need to get that win, so we're going to try and pull out all the stops to do that.
Pretty good season for you all in all. When you look back on it, another learned season. I know it's not even close to being over for you, but when you look back on the season, the 13 team has no doubt shown a lot of promise. You got lots to build on, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. I'm about tired of finishing second. I've had a couple of those so far this year, and it's not a whole lot of fun to finish second, but obviously I'm growing as a driver, and the team is growing a lot through the entire year, going through the fire at Thor Sport that we had almost a couple months ago, and just through all the hardships we've endured. Eddie Traconis, my crew chief, and my entire 13 team, we definitely endured a lot of stuff and stay together in those second place, and lots of top five finishes help us and propel us. And now hopefully in the last few races here, we can go out and get a win.
Cameron, spent some time with one of your teammates, Natty Ganesh. He was brought into race in the IWK 250, and he's been impressed with your progress. He said you guys have come along really good this year, and he spoke very high of you.
for sure. We've definitely, not only I've grown with ThorSport as a company, but obviously I was alluding to Matt Kraft, and he definitely has. Last year was a bit of a learning experience. He had to learn who I was as a driver, and I had to learn how to talk to a veteran like him. And this year we've definitely grown our racing relationship, and he's helped me a ton throughout this year, and I'm starting to get closer to him. I'm starting to be able to at least run with him compared to last year, so it's been a lot of help him being on the team.
Maybe you need to get an IWK 250 car and come over and have a go head-to-head battle here in the Maritimes with Kraft in some year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I would love to do that. I wish I was able to do that, but hopefully maybe next year we'll be able to find a ride to be able to do that.
Cameron, what's the 13 ThorSport Toyota going to look like this year at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park? You've had some new sponsorship on the truck. What's it going to look like this weekend?
Well, we had Ride TV come on board at Bristol, and it's looking like they'll be for most of the rest of the year. So, really excited to have them on board. And I couldn't even really tell you what it's going to look like. I know we have some kind of a mix of a Canadian scheme with Ride TV, so I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like yet, but I guess we'll unveil it soon.
I can't wait to see it. Man, oh man, you know, last night we did a live race at a racetrack out here in Newfoundland, and that's where we are tonight. We're live from Winging It, and it was at Eastbound International Speedway. Have you heard of the racetrack, and have you seen the progress of this track out here in Newfoundland?
No, I haven't. I know there's a ton of great tracks out there, and I have not heard of it, but I'd love to visit it one day. It sounds like a nice place.
Well, I spoke about you last night, bud. I had to say the first time I went to NASCAR home tracks in Edmonton, and it was at Edmonton International Raceway. There was a young Cameron Haley there, and he burned that racetrack up. It so reminded me last night at Eastbound International Speedway. We're going to see some of those. We got some Cameron Haleys out here that are young that are going to burn it up. And look what they got to look forward to. If they can really dot their I's, cross their T's, they could end up where you are one day and racing against you. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, for sure. It's pretty incredible, really, Canada as a country stepping behind me. And obviously, I was one of the first drivers to really pave the way for young Canadian drivers coming up through the sport. And it's amazing to me and humbling, really, to look back at my past and where I came from. And, I mean, just Calgary, Alberta, I didn't even have a home track really grow. I'd race City, and Race City was closed down before I was even able to race on it. And to see where I'm at now, I hope it just inspires young Canadian kids like myself to go out and chase that NASCAR dream, because it's not just American kids growing up that get these chances. Obviously, I have got the chance as well, so you can do whatever you want. You just need to focus, and I think hopefully I inspired some more kids to be able to do that as well.
Well, you're doing us proud. I can guarantee you that, my friend. When are you checking out? When are you coming in to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park to fire up your weekend? What day do you guys travel in?
Well, I think it's either Thursday night or Friday morning. I know we have technical session on Friday, practice on Saturday, and race on Sunday, so probably Friday morning.
Well, make sure you leave enough room in there. You got the rest of Canada going to get inside that Toyota with you, my friend. Bring your Sharpie and rest that arm. You may want to ice it up a bit, because I know there's a whack of race fans that can't wait to see you back on Canadian soil. And don't forget to put that Canadian flag down beside you. When you win that Silverado 250 weekend in that Toyota, you're going to set a lot of people on fire at that racetrack, including all of us from Racetime Radio. Can't wait to see it, bud.
You bet. It's going to be an awesome weekend. And I couldn't think of a better place to get my first win, so that would be a really, really cool thing for me and Canada as a country.
Absolutely. Cameron, thanks so much for your time tonight. I know you're a busy cat. Congratulations on a good finish on the weekend. And we look for more come Canadian Tire Motorsport Park this coming weekend. Safe travels.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You betcha. That's Cameron Haley, driver of the 13 ThorSport Toyota in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Guys, we're going to step out, take a quick break. When we come back, We're going to hear from Ron Fellows. We've got Gary Klute coming up. And, of course, Spencer Gallagher, driver of the number 23 Chevy for GMS. So we still got lots to come. Stay with us.
I'm John Roberts from Speed in the Hub. You're listening to Racetime Radio. From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks. From classic rock.
Classic vinyl.
Lithium.
To today's rock.
Octane.
Just too young to care.
Alt Nation.
Come a little closer.
To what's next.
Sirius XM U.
Why'd you only call me when you're home?
100% commercial-free rock is on SiriusXM. If you're on Twitter,
follow us
at Racetime Radio.
Stay up to date on all forms of racing,
as well as a chance to win some cool racing prizes.
So follow us on Twitter
at Racetime Radio.
Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is the place to be this Labor Day weekend at the Chevrolet Silverado 250.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the summer with Camping World Trucks and Pinty Series.
The holiday weekend includes the Can-Am 200, Family Action Zone, and much more. Plus, we have free admission for kids 16 and under.
You can come for the day or camp for the weekend.
The Chevrolet Silverado 250 this Friday to Sunday, Labor Day weekend.
Discount tickets until Wednesday at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't know.
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is back.
And welcome back, everyone, to Racetime Radio. Live tonight, we're winging it in St. John's. What a beautiful restaurant this is. If you haven't been out to a winging it location, you got to get your butt out here. Get on your horse and join us. We're going to be out here for another, hour and a half live tonight here on Racetime Radio. We've got a lot of guests here. We're going to get to a lot of them here in hour number two. We're talking NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Got the Silverado 250 weekend coming up, and it's coming up next weekend, guys, like a rocket. Not only the NASCAR Pinty Series, we've also got the NASCAR Camping World Trucks. There's a lot of activity surrounding the Silverado 250 weekend. Jerry, you and I believe it was year number two for the trucks, or was it year number one? You and I were out there. Oh, what do you say? Turn your mic on. There you go.
I think that was year number two, but it was it's such an event. They create an incredible event around it. It's not just the racing. There's a whole fan experience that goes with it, and the atmosphere is there. You can take the kids, camp for the weekend, and just really have a ball. And they get everybody so involved in the event that it's just a great time to get out there and see it. And, you know, I was thinking about the truck drivers as we watched that the highlights from that truck race, and I'm thinking, man, how do you go from doing, I don't know, 180 miles an hour on an oval to go to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park and, it's not four turns. There's a whole bunch more than four.
Yeah.
And, you know, a whole different style of driving in a week. Just turn your mind around and go the other way. That's talent. that is real talent on those guys to be able to do that. But so if you and I mean, I also look at the NASCAR Pinty series the same way. Those guys are turning ovals, then they turn around and they go and turn road courses. It some great racing talent on that weekend. It's a real entertaining weekend to go and watch. And you know, I know, Joe, you and I are of the same mind. We weren't big road course fans for a little while there.
No.
But they're starting to win us over, I think.
Because, they got me now. Yeah. And the guy that I got to blame for that is Ron Fellows, and we got him coming up here shortly. Love road courses. It was Ron that turned me on, and that was Road America. After Road America, I became a road course nut, really, and Canadian Tire Motorsport Park fits the bill like huge. Especially with the truck series. I can only imagine one day seeing the Xfinity series on Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. And I can well imagine that if the truck series is successful year after year, we're going to start to see that Xfinity series. It would be a natural fit at a world-class facility like Canadian Tire Motorsport Park.
Wouldn't that make the weekend just that much bigger if they added it for the same weekend? Can you imagine? The Pinty Series, the trucks, and the Xfinity Series?
I don't think you'd be able to get close to the facility. It's already packed now with the truck series, and there's lots of room at that racetrack. Don't get me wrong. A lot of great locations, real good-looking stuff. But you know what? If you added the Xfinity Series to the trucks at that track, it'd be off the hook.
That'd be a super ticket.
It sure would. Brad, have you ever done any laps on a road course?
I felt like I did here in the Rock. The way Jerry's on and off the brakes all over town. I thought he was scooping out a new road course here in the Rock or something, Joe. Yeah. I'm sure the other drivers are a lot smoother than that, buddy.
That's okay. You can get out and walk anytime.
Yeah. Did you do any competitive laps in a race car on a road course?
No, I did not. I've always been on the ovals, and I've always been on pave. I also never did any laps on a dirt track either. So I've been strictly on pave, and the rest of the laps I did was on snowmobiles on snow.
Yeah, you're a big snowmobiling guy, right?
Yeah, I started out at 12 years old, oval racing, and at the end of the career with the sleds, we were drag racing, and I always found the drag race end of it kind of boring after oval racing, but we did oval on snow and asphalt in the summertime. So,
yeah, well, the road course is where it's at next weekend. You don't want to miss it, the Silverado 250 weekend. Tickets are available. Just get to CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com. We've got two tickets. I've got two that I'm going to give away. Not sure if we're going to do it tonight on the program. Maybe we'll do it on our social media network, and we'll give them away throughout the course of the week. Last year, I had a couple of tickets. Sue and I thought, well, why don't we do it tonight? Gave people fair warning about an hour into it and then left a window for a certain amount of time. Entered it in, said you got to tag Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. We blew up Twitter. We gave away two tickets, and they're VIP tickets. They're real good ones. You want to win them? You're going to have to keep your eye on Racetime Radio's Twitter and on Facebook. We'll come up with a scheme, and it'll be early in the week so that we know you can make it to the race, and you don't want to enter unless you can. But tell you what, that's going to be a big show. It's going to be a good one, and a lot of people look forward to that race. A little bit later tonight, we're going to hear from Joey McComb. I know he's probably going to be out there this year. Joey has laps at that racetrack and lots of them. You need to have talent. You need to have laps on that track. Pays huge dividends when you get out there. And, you know, the truck series now has been at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park 3 years. This is going to be the fourth one. And it's, or is it 2 years? And this is going to be the third one. I'll have to check that. But, you know, the guys are starting to get some experience at it. When they do, it becomes that much better.
I know I heard Josh Collins guys talking last night, some of his crew guys, and it'd be interesting to ask Josh after. I guess it was a real eye-opener to Josh when he went on the Pinty Series to do a road course this year. So that's a guy that's done a lot of oval, and that would have been the first time this year that he's done that. So it would be interesting to ask him that after.
Yeah, it will be. He did get laps at that racetrack. What a great spot to get laps at. Jerry, you know, the year we were there, the activities surrounding the pit area, we were right down in the Pinty's garage. And there was lots of activity down in that area.
Oh, yeah. If you get the opportunity to go on the pit road and get into the pit area, first of all, the drivers are always willing to talk racing with you. You'll never have that problem. And even the crew members, they love to talk about it. They're busy, but they've always got a minute or two for a fan. That never goes away. But what you can learn from them is unbelievable. And the experience of being allowed to be down there. And they do some great opportunities for the fans to interact with drivers and crew. And that, I think, is so, so important. I know I talked to a couple of crew members. And you say, so when you first came to do a road course, oh, don't even go back to that. Don't even talk about that. They're oval guys. They got onto the road course, and they're like, ah, it's only 1 week. We'll just set the car up neutral. We'll be able to go left and right. That doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And No. They had to learn that the hard way. And now these guys are actually some of the road racers that you see in the Pinty series in particular. Those were former oval guys. And when you get a chance to talk to them about being oval and coming to a road course, it's kind of that experience like you're mentioning, Brad, with Josh. It opens their eyes in a big way that how the whole experience is so different. So, yeah, it's different as a fan. It's also very different as a driver. But entertainment, oh, you couldn't ask for anything better.
And kind of cool, too, when you get an opportunity. Gary Clute has gone to Victory Lane at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He knows what it feels like to win. Now he's getting an opportunity to get into a winning truck in the 51 KBM prepared machine. He's got to be really, really excited. We're going to find out how excited, because Gary is going to be on the program tonight. But that's got to be a huge opportunity for a young driver that's got laps on at that racetrack. When you talk Peter Clute, his dad, you know he is huge on a road course. There's a lot of experience in there. He's going to have a lot of real good people to rely on, and add in the fact that he could be in a winning truck. Watch out for Gary Clute in this Silverado 250. Along with Cameron Haley, we now got two Canadians that are going to be in that race. I don't know about tags yet. We haven't heard. He was at Road America, was it Road America this weekend, or was it Mid-Ohio? That he was at. No, it was Road America. Michael McDowell won the race. And, you know, you've got another potential there for another Canadian to get in. You never know. Tags can announce anything at any time. I got to turn your mic back on because your phone was ringing.
Anytime you can get in Kyle Busch Motorsport stuff, that's always winning. One of the best equipment there is in the truck series and also in the Affinity Series. He always brings great equipment, so that's a real break for that driver to get in that kind of equipment, and he will be a contender for sure.
Well, you know what? We're talking about the 51 KDM entry. We're talking Gary Clute. How about we bring Gary Clute up on the hotline? Because I believe Sue and Glenn, they got Gary on the hotline. Gary, what's going on, buddy? You've got to be coming off the chip with this news.
Opportunity. I've got to thank Jags, I've got to thank Cody Coughlin, and I've got to thank the guys at KBM.
Yeah, and look at this, Gary. You've won at that racetrack. You know how to get the job done there. Have you had any fitting in the seat? Do you know what to expect with that race team?
Yeah, I went down to North Carolina 2 weeks ago, and we went through it. I met everyone down there, and we did our seat fitting, and I actually got on the Toyota simulator, so that, I hope, helped out, and we'll see how it translates.
Gary, I take it you're going to do double duty on the weekend. You're going to be a busy cat running between the two garage areas. We've seen it done before. Is one going to lend to the other when it comes time for, you know, setup and anything like that, or have you got pretty well the plans laid out?
I think the plans are pretty much laid out. We've run the Pinty's car there a bunch, so hopefully that goes straightforward. And it's racing, so it never does. But I'll be running around on Saturday. I was calculating out my track time, and I think I'm on track for 5 hours or something.
Gary, that truck that you're about to get in, there's no question it can be a winning vehicle. The first question that just came to my mind was, does that put any additional pressure on you? Are they saying, hey, you're going to run the truck, we know you're good, that's all we need to know?
Um, I, You know, I always, my typical answer is I put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm sure there'll be some from the team, and I know it's a good piece, so I'm expecting to go out there and do really well and just get used to the truck. It's a bonus knowing the track, so I'm just looking for a good overall weekend in both series.
So let's talk about the speed at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. I know that straightaway down the back, that you can get a lot going on that.
Yeah, it's, you go from real, real slow down in 5B, and then when you crest the hill coming over into 8, you're light in your seat, and you're kind of puckering a little bit as you hit the brakes there. So I think the trucks will do probably 165, 170 miles an hour.
Now tell me what the Pinty's car is going to do in the same place.
Oh, probably 155.
155, and that pucker meter is still going to be going off, right?
Oh, yeah, both of them. And it'll be my first time really on radial tires, so I imagine the margin for error in the truck will be a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it probably will. Now, Gary, is there any crew members you're going to swing from the truck back to the Pinty's car? You got any crew members sort of crossing the line?
Nope. I think everyone will stay in their respective camps. I'm going to have Scott Fletcher. He's going to spot for me in the truck. And then I think that's about it. So everyone's going to be separated, and I'm just going to be the guy running back and forth, changing suits and between the two pits.
Is the 51 going to look like the 59 going to look like the 51, or are they going to be two totally different paint schemes?
No, two totally different paint schemes. The 59 will stay in the Pioneer Pools livery as it was the first race, and then the 51 is I've posted it all over social media. There, it's got the front half looking like Cody runs the Jegs truck, and then the back half is my sponsors of UDMC, Boswell Accurate, and TrailCon and CoolSuppliesCanada.ca.
I guess the biggest problem you're going to have is sleeping on Thursday night, looking at the weekend. You got a busy one coming up, and it's going to be exciting times for you. Is it going to parlay, do you think, into more truck rides, or are you going to just stick to the road course and see what shakes out?
We're just going to play it by ear, see how this race goes. Obviously, the goal is to go and do more truck races, go and do some Xfinity races, and just work up that ladder.
Well, as part of the NASCAR Next, you're doing Canada well, my friend, and good on you. I know a lot of eyeballs are going to be on you. To tell you the same thing I told Cameron, you got to take that Canadian checker or that Canadian flag. Stick it in there. If you see the checker, we want to see that Canadian one in victory lane, bud.
100%.
Absolutely. Gary, thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We sure do appreciate it, and know that Canada's behind you, bud.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's Gary Clute live with us tonight on Race Time Radio. Guys, we're going to step out, take one more quick break, and then we're going to get to some of the competitors from Eastbound International Speedway. We got a lot of friends here tonight at Wingonet, and we're going to filter through a bunch of them, get some comments, get their opinion on what took place last night. It was a great time, and I can't wait to talk about it. We're going to do that next on Race Time Radio. Stay with us.
Hey fans, this is Allison McLeod, winningest female driver in USAC history, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is the place to be this Labor Day weekend at the Chevrolet Silverado 250.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the summer with Camping World Trucks and Pinty Series.
The holiday weekend includes the Can-Am 200, Family Action Zone, and much more. Plus, we have free admission for kids 16 and under.
You can come for the day or camp for the weekend.
The Chevrolet Silverado 250, this Friday to Sunday, Labor Day weekend.
Discount tickets until Wednesday at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Race Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Hi, it's Eric Alper, host of At That Eric Alper Show.
heard on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167. Each week, I go behind the scenes with the artists that you love and the artists that are soon to be on your playlist. We do in-depth interviews, in-studio performances, fun trivia, and lists that you won't find anywhere else. That's That Eric Alper Show, SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Yeah, I've been all over the place. There's rednecks everywhere you go. How many rednecks we have here?
SiriusXM's Blue Collar Radio.
Somebody said one time, you took this word from being an insult into kind of a badge of honor.
You might be a redneck.
And it's hilarious.
When people come backstage and they're like, oh my God, you've been in our house. My bosom swells with pride. My eyes are moist with tears.
You might be a redneck.
And you've got a hole in both your socks, so welcome to Blue Collar.
SiriusXM 97.
Best team in the business.
Can the fans hear me right now on this?
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
NASCAR Nation?
All
yeah, we're here.
Scenes.
Learn as much as we can.
Racing.
Get ready to rock and roll here.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Jimmy Johnson, really got it.
Kyle Busch.
I appreciate you and what you do for the sport of NASCAR and how well you talk about it.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Take a flag here, baby.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man.
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25, Classic Rewind brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On SiriusXM.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio.
And welcome back, everyone. Live tonight from Winging It, right out here in St. John's, Newfoundland. We had a blast out here all weekend long. And tonight, the fun continues. We're going to continue to talk trucks in a wee bit here. We'll have Ron Fellows coming up, probably 20 minutes or so. But we got a lot of guests right here at Winging It that were a part of last night's big Edward Collins Contracting 125. It was a huge race. It was the Napa Sportsman Series, a NASCAR home track, and what a beautiful facility. Just 2.5 years old, really. And just amazing progress that this place has made. Our next guest is going to join us right here live. We got Brandon McFarland. I know Brian McFarland, a buddy of mine from Guelph, Ontario. And I also know Brandon McFerrin. So that's why I always stop and I go, hold on a sec, McFarland, McFerrin, but it is. McFarland, how you doing tonight, bud?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me out.
Just about got in, just about had a really good race last night. Your number 22 car not only looks good, but it runs like a bullet. Tell us what happened to you last night.
Well, we had a great car, really good qualifying. I think it was 17.6. We qualified, fast time. Throughout the race, I was just planning on saving the car for the last 30 laps, 25 laps, and it was going to be go time then. I think it was lap 46. I could see it coming a couple laps before. We were all bunched up. There's about five of us, and we're all battling for position. And out of turn three into turn four, we were starting to bump, starting to get close. And I seen that front straightaway. I said, all right, there's going to be a caution coming up. And as soon as we hit one, everyone started getting into each other. And I had nowhere to go. I ended up getting beached up to the top of the track. It was good fun, though. But
good fun until that all took place.
Yeah, definitely. It was. I was trying to stay high. I was right behind Joey there, actually. And I said, I'm not going to hit Joey. I'm going to let him go.
Yeah,
slacked off, so I'm going to take the high side. Maybe Joey will get it. No, yeah, it was me.
It ended up being you.
Yeah.
Take us around that racetrack. It's beautiful. We were up in the tower. I know our guys were down overlooking turn one and two and three. And I was up in the tower. I'm amazed from being up there. What's it like going around that speedway?
Going to the track's pretty fun. Turn two was my – I had a bit of struggle there at the start of the season. I'm starting to get that down. But definitely turn four comes up on you pretty quick. You enter three really quick and you got to really, really drive out four. You get pretty loose coming out of four if you're not careful.
Watching a lot of the guys coming off turn four, because from the tower, that's what I could see best. And watched Josh, watched you, that the 16 car as well, pinning it down low and really making up good time. The 29 car down there as well. Does the outside lane ever start to develop and you move from the bottom of the racetrack up top?
I find as the race goes on, I kind of go a bit higher in the track. I find the car handles do handle a little bit better at the top of the track. I'm getting a bit of run off four, makes it a bit faster on the front straightaway. Give you a better entry into one as well, which is nice.
How long have you been racing?
This is my rookie season. I'm only 7 races in now. So.
Really? Yeah. So you started out in the sportsman's car that you got?
Yeah, exactly. I got the car off Josh Collins there in October, and I never raced, never sat in a car before, and we came out to watch the ECC last year, and me and Dad were watching. I said, we got to get one of the cars for next year.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So that's what you did. Brad, as a veteran, you got a young driver. You know what it was like your first time. How many years did you race, and what's this guy got to look forward to?
Well, you got a long career ahead of you. It's a disease with no cure, this racing deal that we're all on. We talked about that last night. Nice thing, I had a chance to speak with your dad this afternoon a little bit, and he told me that you bought the car yourself. It was your money. It wasn't Dad going out and buying you a race car, and you're a pipe fitter. You're into your third block towards your career, and I really respect that. I like that idea, and that's your own money out there, and you know what you're doing with it, and you got a good career ahead of you. To only be 7 races in a race car, I've been around this stuff for a long time, and you've done a great job, buddy. I'm impressed with being patient in the race car. Patience is always a big thing. The patient drivers will survive, and they will prevail. That's the biggest thing you got to remember, to save your equipment for the end.
Yeah, and that was my plan there last night. I said, be patient, stay where you're two, stay in the top 10, stay on the lead lap, and we'll get a good finish for ourselves, and got caught up in the wreck. But
and awesome looking race car with Mountain Dew, Coors Light, and Wing It on it.
Unbelievable looking
pretty race car. And I'm going to tell you something. From the years that I've been in racing, appearance is a big deal. Mm-hmm. You keep that race car looking good, and sponsors appreciate that, and the people in the stands see that. Even if you have a bad night, they'll say, that was an awesome-looking race car. So always got to look good in case you don't run good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have a nice-looking car.
So whereabouts are you heading? How many short tracks have you ran on, or is Eastbound International the one?
Yeah, Eastbound's the only track I've ran. I'm looking into going to Scotia now at the end of the season.
No Thunder Valley for you?
No, I haven't hit up Thunder Valley yet this year. That's probably going to be another one on my
list. That'll be another one on the list, but... Nova Scotia is where you want to head as well.
Yeah, Antigonish should be nice, and Scotia Speed World, all them.
Well, we got the Dartmouth Dodge 200 weekend coming up. You kind of fit that like a glove. I believe there's a 100-lap sportsman that night, the night before. You kind of fit that like a glove, too. You'd fly around there.
Yeah, hopefully so. It'd be nice to get a good finish out there.
How much help? I know there's some good veterans in that field. During the race last night, we hear about how many guys have been racing for a long time. They were in dirt, and now they're in asphalt. But how do you find you're the rookie, you're the young guy with no experience. Are they helping you? Are they driving over you? How's your fitting in?
A lot of the drivers, I do get a lot of respect from a lot of the drivers, and it's all about running clean and running smart. You know, if I'm having a bad day on the track, I know it's not my day. I might be a lap down. Well, I'm going to give the leaders coming up, I'm going to move to the top of the track and give them their lane. I'm not going to be down blocking. I'm not going to be racing them into the turns. But for most of the part, Josh Collins helped me out a lot. Everything now that I've basically done, all the training outside and all the help, working on cars, practice, it's all Josh has been giving me a big hand with that for sure.
How much practice? Everybody needs seat time. So what's your plan to get as much seat time as you can get? And I mean, obviously, at some point, you're going to want to try some other racetracks, but... You know, like I said, this is one track. How much seat time can you get?
Well, you can change the car around, too. I find a bit of trial and error helps with the seat time as well. Maybe take a couple turns out of the car, see how it feels. Maybe it's no good. Let's put it back. There's a lot of different tricks, different lines you can run in the track that definitely help out.
So you're learning both ends, not only the driving, but you're also learning the setup. So when you turn one of those load bolts, you know what it feels like. You know that you got to either turn it down, turn it up, and that's key. You know, a lot of drivers today want to get in the car and let someone else take care of the end of it, but then the communication's got to be perfect between the two to get the car going. Sounds like you're doing both ends and learning all the way through.
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to, and that's one thing you definitely need as a driver is to know, okay, my car is getting too loose. Guys, we got to come in. We got to fix this up. You know what I mean? Let's put a turn in.
Yeah.
A couple turns in. Let's try it out.
And I guess step two is you got to learn how to deal with a loose race car as a driver, because if you can't get to the caution flag and get to the pit area, you're just it's up to you.
Yeah, it's all about driving the car out and keeping it straight.
You know what? The other thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn the terminology, because when you get down south, you're going to say, I'm going to stay where I'm too, and they're not going to understand what you're saying, bud.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be good.
I got to really respect talking to you, Brandon, on and off the track. You've got a great future ahead of you. To be only 7 races in and to be as level-headed as you are.
Thank you.
Don't ever forget where you're begun, buddy. And I look to see big things from you. Your name I'll put in the back of one of my corners in my head. I always joke us English guys got 4 corners for storage. Well, I'm going to put your name back there. And I got it right last night. I never once said your name wrong. So that was a good thing. And
yeah, perfect.
Yeah. It came out McFerrin out of me twice. So that's why I hesitated and I went, Brandon? It's going to be McFarland.
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
I got it.
No, you really get the right outlook towards the sport. And
thank you.
You're going to go far in the sport. Don't give it up. Stay at it. And you got a great attitude, and I look for great things out of you.
Yeah, and he drives the number 22 for Winging It, Mountain Dew, and who else on there? You got a bunch.
I got Reuben International and Dave's Tirecraft and RY Interlock and Nolan Graphics. He does the awesome wrap on the car and our trailer.
Look at you. You got the sponsors all down. You got the driving. Won't be long, and you'll be on the big line.
We forgot the biggest one, Joe. There's something him and I have in common. He's carrying the Coors Light banner.
And he's got the Coors Light on there, too.
Yeah.
Brandon, thanks for stopping by. We got a lot to get through here tonight, and it was a pleasure watching you on the racetrack. Great pleasure having you here, too.
Yes,
that was a lot of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. Brandon McFarland, he is going to drop the mic, and we're going to grab Josh Collins, the guy that ended up winning last night. The Edward Collins Contracting 125. I'll tell you, it was a nail-biter throughout the course of the night, 125-lap race. Josh Collins goes out there, smashes the track record, I would imagine. He laid down a wicked fast time in the 56. Got out there, set sail, looking real good until about, I believe it was lap 46 when he was going around a lap car. And, oh, man, difficulty came out, and the 56 car went for a twirl. But he joins us now. He's got a mic, a headset. And doesn't look like you're hungover. So what happened last night, Jeff? You won the race, but what's going on?
Yeah, we won the race. We done pretty good with it, and we left the track around 12:01, and the rest is history.
You're not going to tell us what else happened, but...
No, we watched the sun come up anyway.
Did you? Good deal. The 56 car was pretty good last night. You had a great race.
Yeah, we qualified really well, practiced good. We put a lot of time into the car, and we know the track well, so we... always expect to run good when we come out here.
Yeah. You've had some good success this year. What is that, 4 wins out at Eastbound International for you so far this year?
Yes, 4 wins. And the other races we were leading are in the top 5, and we end up in wrecks or what have you, in trouble with the car, mechanical failure.
You have been bouncing around quite a bit this year. We've seen you at New Smyrna Speedway. We've seen you in a NASCAR Pindy's car, now out here. Is there anything you don't drive, and is there you got a favorite racetrack? Because, man, you're all over the place.
No, I like our home track is obviously my favorite. I like New Smyrna. We've been down there a bunch of times now, and I like Kawartha. We ran that last year with the Pinties. That was fun. And Riverside. We're looking at doing a bit of Targa stuff now in Targa Newfoundland a couple of weeks' time. We get the car ready, so we're just rolling with it. You don't know what we're going to do next.
Targa Newfoundland. Tell me that isn't going to be a blast. Who are you going to team up with? Who's going to be your navigator?
It's going to be me and Matt Collins, one of my crew guys. He's going to be the co-driver. So we're just kind of finishing up some loose ends on the car. And we've got a Subaru WRX lined up to drive. So it should be interesting.
Oh, that's going to be huge. Jerry, we talked to Robert Ganu, the president of Targa Newfoundland, and man, that sounds like a real cool deal. You run like 5 nights. You run so many kilometers a day, pull in, and you're in that town. They set up the arena. That's your pit area. You work on your car, and you're ready to race the next day. I can see this 56 team being a threat to win it, buddy.
I just have a funny feeling, Josh, that Targa series is where you're getting your road course additional experience.
Yes, we're learning the hard way in the Pinty Series with the road course stuff, because I've never done it before, so maybe this will help us out and build us up for next year, because I struggled a lot there in the iCar and a few other tracks there, didn't do that well. So we're just trying to build our program and get a bit more experience for myself, and we think this is probably something that will definitely help that.
So this will be your first Targa?
Yeah, Will. I'm not sure. I've never done a rally race before. I don't know much about it, but we'll go out and have some fun with it like we do everything else.
Well, yeah, you'll fit it like a glove, because it's get into the car, go fast, turn left, turn right, get back in, and do it again. And you'll love doing it.
Yes, in 5 days is kind of like Speed Weeks, kind of you're running every day, so we're used to that too, so should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you just got to watch somebody's fences. When we have Robert Ganu, I remember the story he told us about the guy that the green Porsche went through the guy's fence.
Yeah.
The homeowner actually went out, fixed the fence, took the where the car went through it, left a bunch of orange paint on it, cut it out, picked it up off the ground, I guess, put it downstairs on his wall as a souvenir from Targa, Newfoundland. He goes, "That there was a Porsche go through my fence, and I got it downstairs as a souvenir right now." Robert Ganu couldn't believe it. Great story, but it sounds like a great race. And that's what you ran last night, buddy. You ran a great race in the Edward Collins 125. Take us back to last night. What were your thoughts when you and the 49 car got together? I know we had you on air, but for somebody that didn't hear the race, what were the thoughts in that time, in that moment?
It's never good, right, when you're leading and you know you got a strong car and you get taken out by a lap car, but that stuff happens, and it is what it is now. In the heat of the moment now, you know where you get, and we got bumped in the bang before we even got to pit road there. But guys cooled me down a little bit there, and long race left yet. We said I had I think we were only like lap 48, you said, so we had lots of race left, so there was no need to tear it up. I had a good car. I used up a lot of the car, though, trying to get back up, and we had to pit twice, and we had a bent rim and tire going flat and all kinds of stuff. The radiator was twisted, so the fan wouldn't come on. The temperature was up. But anyway, we kept an eye on it all, managed to get back up through the pack.
I seen that. When you were coming off pit road, I seen the geyser right up by the base of the windshield, and it was peaking. I thought, wow, Josh, you're not going to make it around this racetrack anymore. Now it's overheating. How good did it feel to get right side rubber at that time? Could you feel the difference in the 56?
Yes, like I said, I had to pit twice, though, because there was more issues with the car. But no, when we got straightened up, we got some new tires on, it was definitely better. But the guys never told me the fan wasn't working. I just assumed it was the front bed up in the car because I didn't know. But I went back out. As long as I kept driving, we were around 200. But any time cars came out, just started creeping our way back up. But I knew there was something going on. But anyway, the guys told me after the radiator was bent up, but it was to the point it wasn't leaking, but the fan wouldn't run, right?
I know you left one small river at the end of pit road there after that pit stop, because that's where I was stationed, and I looked down, and it looked like a fountain.
Yeah, that did.
You know, the overflow was just pumping it out, something fierce, and I thought, man, something's not right under the car, but I wasn't going to tell anybody. The way you were running, I didn't think you were going to care anyway. You were just going to drive the car.
No, I wasn't coming in. The temperature didn't mean much to me. I don't know, we run that pressurized rad so we can get up to 250 on the temperature before she blows off, but when she do, look out.
I don't know if you realize how close the second time, Josh, on the back stretch you were going by the 49 car, lapping it again, and he got the front end out of the car, and I swear you, like, he missed you by about 2 inches. I don't even know if you've seen it. I was just calling the back stretch, and I'm like, not again. Like,
yeah, your pucker beater went off. I knew it went off because I heard it in your voice.
Oh, I just like, no, you can take him out again.
56 come through unscathed, but did you feel it?
No, I didn't know that, actually. It's good that I didn't. But
yeah.
Even we were coming to the finish. I don't know what his problem was, but we were coming to the finish, and he lifted it going to the end, and I know Michael Faye, he was coming up on me stronger, and he just came right at the throttle going to the finish line. I was half throttle. I said, Jesus, I said, you got to get going, right? But anyway, I was watching. My spotter told me I had lots of time, so if not, if Faye had to get up alongside of me, it would have been an interesting finish because I would have had to go.
Well, he was right there, that 29 car. I'll tell you what, like Jerry said early in the program, you wouldn't have wanted that to be a 150 because it kind of looked like your car was going away. I did make the comment, though, I'll bet you the 56 isn't pushing everything he's got. He knows the 29's there, but he's got to save something in case the 29 makes a charge. Was there any truth to that, or were you wailing on it?
And no, I was. I didn't have very much left in the tank because I knew I used up the car major coming up through. I had to pass guys on the outside. And And just between a little bit of beating the bang we did have there, there wasn't much left. I knew I had a good enough car where they'd have to get quite a run on me to get me, but you never know. Right? You only got to get loose once or someone give you that little bump and run, which is that's racing. I'm all okay with that. That's just the way it is, but we were lucky enough that we came out on top.
Well, I know you didn't have much left in the tank at the end. The burnout you did was second to none. I haven't seen that. You know, Kyle Larson won today. He did an incredible burnout, lost the wheels. I don't know if it would even hold the candle to yours. That motor in your race car is probably burned down now. You're not going to be using that one. And I didn't see you go lift the Josh Collins Contracting 125 trophy either there, buddy.
No, there's not much. I wouldn't trust that motor again. I guess they're terrible one this year. I don't know. You do the burners. I got to stop doing it to the guys because now they got to take it out Monday morning and not going to be popular in the garage tomorrow.
No, you won't be. Not much at all.
Just an awesome trophy you guys did for this race, too, Josh. Actually, we were flying in and we were driving around on Friday sightseeing, and that was a conversation we had in the car. We said, I bet you they're going to have some kind of special trophy. Tell us a little bit about what went into making that trophy. It's something we never seen anywhere before, and it is a special piece.
Actually, when we decided last year to sponsor a race, me and Ryan Andrews actually sat down, and we came up with the idea to make something special, and that's what we decided, to cut a front half of a motor. We actually took a Chevy Black, and we cut the front two cylinders with a bandsaw straight down the cam and the crank, cut it all off, and then we mounted onto a rim, put all the assembly back up in it, like the small part of the crank that was left and the cam, and you can actually rotate it. Got roller rockers and stuff, push rods, and all chrome pulleys on the front and chrome top pans. Everything was powder coated. We put a lot of time into it and came out really nice. And the top three cars, we made pistons. We get a piston, cut them at different heights, and we actually bolt them into granite. We do them down our own chapter, bolt them into three different pieces of granite and get them engraved and stuff. And just want to have something unique is nice when you can look at your trophy cabinet and all the trophies are different. Like, you know what I mean? And they're not looking, you know, uniform.
No, yeah. I do understand. I got a lot home, and it's nice to look back to something different. But I've never seen one quite done like that. Is there any truth? The rumor in the pit last night was sometimes you had to rob a part off that trophy to keep the car going.
Yeah. Yes, actually, the car John Fleming's running for us in the pro stock, we had to rob some stuff off it for the we're robbing a couple of parts off it now, but we've always put them back. But that's why we don't track. We want that trophy to stay at the track because sometimes if the winner gets it, you might see them pulleys on the car someday going down on one of our tracks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations on the huge win at Eastbound International Park. It was dynamite. We got to thank you for all you've done to get us out here, and congratulations on the win, Josh.
Thank you, and we appreciate you guys coming, too, because you add a certain level of professionalism to the whole event, and we hope to see you guys next year. We appreciate it.
We're definitely going to do it. That's Josh Collins. He did go to victory lane last night at Eastbound International Speedway. We're going to talk more about the racetrack, more about the race, but we're going to get back to the hotline right now. We got to bring in our good friend from Canadian Tire Motorsport Park and the guy that is responsible for making us all road course fans. We got the incredible Ron Fellows with us. Ronnie, what's going on tonight, buddy?
Hi, Joe. A little under the weather, but I'm okay.
Ah, a little under the weather. What? Where did you catch this cold, buddy? You should be out here in Newfoundland with us. You wouldn't have a cold.
Yeah, I think just a little too much travel.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it to you, buddy. And
I don't. Your listeners appreciate that I don't always sound like a cross between Sylvester Stallone and Elma Fudd.
Well, Ron, I know you got to get on the men, brother. The biggest weekend of the year, Canada's biggest and ultimate weekend is coming up, the Silverado 250 weekend, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and I didn't have to tell you that because I know you know it. It's happening at your racetrack. How's it looking for the weekend, bud?
Excellent. Yeah, no, we've got not only, I think, a great lineup of racing, but the weather forecast looks spectacular. And, we'll keep our fingers crossed that nothing changes between now and then. But I'm actually really excited to see the Chevy Silverado 250 to see this. I want to see this kid William Byron in action. Pretty special talent, and just signed by Rick Hendrick with Hendrick Motorsports long term. Kid's 18 years old. He's won 5 races this year, leading the points. Lots of pressure. And a very different race for him to run, obviously, at our beautiful road course.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing to see the young talent. And, Ron, you're a guy that's been in race cars of all different flavors, and you were one of the first, if not the first, to win a truck race as a Canadian. You were the guy responsible for our first truck win. What's it like in that series when you come back to a racetrack a number of times? Because now the Silverado 250 weekend isn't by any stretch a new idea. Teams are starting to get some notes now and some real good ones. How important is it for those guys to have those notes? And will it impact and make the race even better than what we've seen?
You know, I think for the majority of the drivers, it's getting familiar with getting more familiar with the track than it is, I think, the teams and their notes. You know, you've got kids, some of these young kids coming out to my school, at least the Chevy contingent. There's been a number of them have signed up for some of the lapping days that have been at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. So they do take it very seriously. They want to make sure that they show up and are well prepared. I think, you know, when you look at the strength of the youth, it's going to be something to watch. I think Cole Custer, he's overdue for a great result. Has run really, really well there the last 2 years, and had some bad luck. John Hunter Nemechek, a good kid, a really good kid, young, terrific family, and has certainly impressed me with his little bit of road course racing that he's done. So it's going to be it's going to be great to watch. And then young Gary Klute from the NASCAR Pinty Series is going to make his debut with Kyle Busch Motorsports, and it'll be great to see how Gary makes out. He's obviously a fine talent. He's won in the Pinty Series at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, so he's going to have his hands full. But this is a great great opportunity for him to show what he can do. And, you know, at the home track, lots of pressure. And he's a young kid, and I know he's up for it.
Yeah, and a lot of these young drivers, and Ron, you got a school, too, that you teach a lot of these young drivers. Many out of the class of 2016, we'll call it, any of them sort of dropped by the school in the off season there? Have you got acquainted with many of them? Did they come through to pick Ron Fellow's brain a wee bit?
Yeah, we get a half a dozen. Certainly the majority of them come from the Xfinity series, but you'll get a few of the truck series kids coming along. John Hunter being one of them, obviously. I think it's mainly for, It's more of at this point, it's a refresher for them, but it's also to make sure they understand the discipline required for road racing and the differences between road course racing and an oval race, where essentially, you know, on a road course, the line that's the fastest doesn't alter compared to an oval track where the groove can change. That doesn't happen on a road course. What happens is the quality of the grip changes, but there's still, you know, the quickest way is still the straightest line.
Yeah, and using those bumps really come into play. You see that a lot at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, as you do at all of the different racetracks, but you do it at that racetrack too, and it can be violent and hard on the equipment, can it?
Well, it's fast. You know, it's a long, fast corners. It's a momentum track where you really need to be nice and smooth, and including all the transitions, you know, to the throttle, off the throttle, to the brake. You know, and you're downshifting as well, going from the gear you have to the gear you need. So there's everything's got to be nice and precise. And again, you don't do a lot of slowing down. But you want to make sure you don't overslow, because it's it's so costly when you're traveling at, with corner speeds, well over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. A full weekend of activity. I know listeners hearing lots about the Silverado 250 weekend and the Silverado 250. We got the NASCAR Pinties also there. And we got a lot of Canadian Tour Car, I believe, is in there. You're going to have a full weekend of racing.
Yep, we've got the final rounds for the Ultra 94 Porsche GT3 Cup Series. There's a couple of... that's coming down to fight between Daniel Morehead and Scott Hargrove, a couple of very, very talented young guys, and a Canadian Touring Car Series, as well as the Nissan Micra Cup, which is great fun to watch. Little front-wheel drive, 100-horsepower cars, and there's about 30 of them, and they tend to push and shove a little bit. And then, of course, another great story in the NASCAR Pinty Series is 16-year-old Caden Lapcevich leading the points, coming off a win. Lots of pressure on him with three to go and leading the points. And this is a track that he will need to perform well on, given that his closest rivals in the championship, Ranger and Tagliani, have a long history of road racing.
Yeah, they sure do. Now, Lapcevich did real good in last year's race. Now we've seen Jeff Lapcevich in there, and he's going to be in Caden's ear the whole time through the Pindy's race. Even Caden did pretty good last year in that race.
Yeah, he's going to need to. I think the beauty of his wins this year have come, they're on ovals, and that I think it bodes so well for Caden's future. And it's hard to believe, and he's only 16, but the Lapcevich family, they're just a terrific bunch. This is third generation driver, starting with Papa Joe. So great to watch, and quite frankly, the Pinty series, the Ghost guys put on a great entertaining show. There's lots of lots of pushing and shoving, and certainly the race lineup on Sunday could not be better. You've got between Pinty series just after lunch, and then right into the Chevy Silverado 250.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook.
Pinty series is the Can-Am. Our Pinty series is the Can-Am 200. I missed that.
That's okay. You're not feeling right up to par. And you know what we're going to do, Ron? We're going to let you go back to the coach, and you're going to get lots of NyQuil. I know Linda will have you ready for the race.
Yeah, the chicken soup is on the boil.
I'll bring the salami. I'll meet you right at that start-finish line this year, okay?
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Absolutely. That is Ron Fellows ready to go for the Silverado 250 weekend. Well, he's not ready to go yet, but he will be as soon as he gets that cold cleared up. He's still got a few days, and you know what? I think if we check in with him next week at the same time, he'll probably sound the same, only it'll be hoarse from screaming at all the race cars and all the action. But, guys, we're going to step out, take a quick break, and then we're going to start talking about that Eastbound International Speedway and the race that we had last night. Still got one more hotline guest to get to, Spencer Gallagher, driver of the number 23 Allegiant Chevrolet. He will come up in our number two, but we still got lots from right here at Winging It. Stay with us. We will be back live on Racetime Radio.
Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
MLB Network Radio.
For expert baseball talk and analysis, it's MLB Network Radio. Bill Ripken.
The longer the dark horses stay in it, the more they believe and things can happen.
Jim Duquette.
It's so bad. Something has to happen.
Todd Hollinsworth.
So many different guys are contributing. That is absolutely sustainable.
Jim Bowden.
He could have told that lineup it's coming. It did not matter.
Talk baseball with experts from all perspectives on MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209. XM 89.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR. The location to vote for your favorite drivers.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Danica Patrick.
Jimmy Johnson.
What shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio?
The Morning Drive.
Trade and Feed.
SiriusXM Speedway.
Race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers.
And more.
Tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Now available online at SiriusXM.com. And on the SiriusXM app for smartphones. SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, ensuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Saturday, August 27th.
We have a goal green.
Racetime Radio goes live from The Rock. It's the Edward Collins Contracting 125.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
From Eastbound International Speedway Park.
Oh, it was a great bit of fun, especially down here. You're dealing with high caliber drivers.
In Avondale, Newfoundland. It's live coverage of the Edward Collins Contracting 125.
It's fast. We're used to short track racing, the diving and turns jamming on the race, but a lot of momentum here, and there's no bad cars.
Saturday, August 27th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Flag-to-flag coverage worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com.
Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is the place to be this Labor Day weekend at the Chevrolet Silverado 250. It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the summer with Camping World Trucks and Pinty Series. The holiday weekend includes the Can-Am 200, Family Action Zone, and much more. Plus, we have free admission for kids 16 and under. You can come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, this Friday to Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Discount tickets until Wednesday at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
If you're on Twitter,
follow us
at Racetime Radio.
Stay up to date on all forms of racing,
as well as a chance to win some cool racing prizes.
So follow us on Twitter
at Racetime Radio. From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
Hey, shake and bake, gal.
You know what? We played that same song last night, and Brad Mann did the same thing, all dancing on top of the tables. Put your clothes back on, Brad. It's a free ride. I'm only kidding you, buddy.
It's a tent.
Yeah.
That's a tent.
Yeah, that's
a
exactly
tent.
What it is.
They brought me a tent, Joe. You remember?
Omar built it, right?
Omar built the tent.
There you go. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. We are live from Winging It, St. John's, Newfoundland. If you haven't been to The Rock, trust me, you got to go to The Rock. You got to get your butt out here. We're really having a good time. We've had a great time all weekend long. Last night, Eastbound International Speedway is where we were. The night before that, we were at Winging It Downtown. And there was a little bit of car show, pre-race party, had a band plan. Man, what a great time. And one of the drivers that not only had his car out at the pre-race party, he also had his car on the racetrack last night. Damn near won himself a race. Got to welcome him. He's joining us here live tonight. We got Ryan St. George, or if you ask Brad, it's St. Pierre. But your name is actually St. George. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. St. Pierre sounds pretty good, I think.
Well, the reason I gave you St. Pierre, I saw how you were using the bumper, so I just said, kick the car ahead, St. Pierre. It's a kick. It's all good.
Well, like George St. Pierre, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Too much fun.
Got to rumble. Got to get to the front, no matter how you do it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, a little bit in that way, like St. Pierre, but I don't really have the build. I mean, I got to work on that, you know. Getting to that age now, it's hard to make it work.
You've been in a couple cars this year, as we talked off air. You've got checkered flag and another car on the Legends circuit that runs here at the track, and
yeah.
Now you're in the one car. So just talk about how that came about, who you started with, and then now you're into this ride, and it looks like you're in this ride for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it looks like it so far. Anyway, I mean, I'm not going to make any promises, but Dennis is a hard cat to please. Dennis Porter Trucking is who I'm driving for now. We're doing well. We came in brand new equipment, so we had a lot of work to do on the car. Managed to get it to where it's at now. It worked really well for us. We got good pace. Started off the season with, well, we missed our first race. I had no ride. I came in with Hanlon Realty and took over one race weekend and did really well in that one. Led the whole race and won by a good margin. So I think that was a resume then.
So that's how you ended up. Dennis must have opened up Dennis's eyes and he thought he should grab you as a shoe.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's how it went, yeah. So anyway, it was all history after that. And we had a lot of work to do on it. I mean, we had a brand new car and out of the box, these legends are... they're cumbersome. I mean, the first two weekends we had decent pace, but we were top three, and we really didn't have much for the 33 and the 10. We trailed for two weekends, and since then we put a lot of work in. We were at Riverside a couple weekends now, and we're trying to sponge whatever information and experience that the guys got up there, which is second to little. As far as I can see, the maritime racing off of Newfoundland is really high level, and where we're still grassroots here, we can pick up a lot off the guys. So, yeah, we managed to make leaps and bounds on our setup. So, right now, we got a pretty good package going.
Ryan, have you driven anything other than a legend car?
Yeah, we started off, of course, a couple of years ago. We had the track in Bishop's Falls, so we were racing a lot there, and... my uncle had a car, so we ran a limited amount of time there, but got some track time and a sportsman. And before that, actually, it was iRacing. We were pretty active on that and translated extremely well, I found. I mean, obviously, we were coming in completely green, and like I said, it was still grassroots, and we had some good races in, and any experience is good experience. And back then, yeah, it was really eye-opening. It was helpful, for sure.
Because I know a lot of the drivers will tell me that a legend car is really twitchy. Like, it reacts so quickly because of the short wheelbase.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge. I found first when I got in it, I thought the thing was undrivable. But now we're after getting the amount of sea time in it now, and I haven't been back in a sportsman since then, which was seems like eons ago. So, I don't know. Maybe I get the seat all calibrated for that, and if I got in the sportsman again, I wouldn't know what I'm in.
that'd be fun.
I'd tell you, like, I had the opportunity to drive a legend car. And that was in the era when I was driving the pro stock cars, and that's why the kids are so good today that come up out of the Bandoleros and the legend cars. That's probably the hardest thing I ever drove was the legend car because of the short wheelbase, and it was so twitchy. So if you ever get back in the seat of a sportsman car or pro stock car, it's not going to be the handful of a legend car. If you master this legend car, those sportsman cars and pro stock cars are a lot easier to drive than that. And the proof of it is on the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. We got Cole Butcher and Dylan Blakehorn that came in as rookies and were competitors the first year in the Pro Stock Tour.
Yeah, it seems that way. It is a good transition.
Yeah, and they were never out of shape, and they never caused any trouble.
Yeah, no doubt. It seems to translate over pretty well, and... Yeah, it's pretty hard to get power down in these cars. I mean, that's the real trick. And where you got that short wheelbase, I mean, the car is twitching, it's moving around on you a lot. So you got to be quick to catch it.
So if you played a lot on, heard you say, iCar, you've learned that you got to play with chassis. You and I had a long talk at Wingit on Friday night about race cars and the chassis of race cars and making a race car good, making it better in the middle of the turn, and having a good chassis under you was more important than a motor.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's what we're trying to refine now. I mean, I think we're probably 50% of the way where we need to be going with our setup. And as I said, I'm still learning. I think we're really eyes open. We're trying a lot of things. And, I mean, we're trying things. We're going out on track. We're almost spinning it, and we're keeping it off the wall. So we're getting really aggressive with making changes, and I think it's the right way to go. It seems to be working. We're really not afraid to try things. And, you know, if we can do that and keep the sides on it, well, we're moving forward.
More thoughts about going back to the mainland to get into some of those other run against some guys who've been doing legends for a while?
Yeah, it is a good experience. Unfortunately, we were just back up there last weekend, and we had to start at the back, but had a tough heat race, and unfortunately we lost oil in the main event, so we couldn't really run it hard, but it's always good experience. I mean, like, the track we got here is an excellent facility. Banking on the turns, we got really big variation. I mean, like, it's, I mean, you guys can see turn one and two are completely different than three or four.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes for a good challenge.
Right.
But, yeah, what we got in the mainland is really good, skilled drivers.
And now, I obviously, you're going over to the mainland to try and gain a little experience and pick up a few pointers along the way. Any thoughts about maybe looking for a legend friend from the mainland to come over and help you out here?
I'm trying to pick Craig McLean's mind all I can. Craig McDonald. I try to pull up the trailer next to him when I can. I don't think they like to see me coming anymore.
It pays to have friends, yeah. Off the track. On the track, maybe, well, yeah, maybe sometimes there too. Right, Brad?
Well, sometimes friendship goes out the window on the track, but it's generally good. Where you're coming in from the outside into there, you'll get a lot of valuable information. And after talking with you and spending some time, I know you have the ability to sponge that information in your head and bring it back over here and put it to use. And you'll gain a lot from these guys. And where you're not there being a threat every week to them, they'll be good to you for now.
Of course. Yeah, I'm cut off soon as I pass one of those guys.
Oh, yeah. That's the end of the info trail, right?
Yeah, so maybe I might sandbag until I get the amount of info that I need. And then we'll bring it all out.
We're not telling Ryan anymore. He just went by. When's the next win for you? When are you going to win?
I thought we had something good this weekend, but, oh, man, it was hard fought for us. Oh, Jesus.
The 10 was quick. There was a lot of fast cars there last night.
Yeah, we had a lot of fast cars, and we had a really hard fought race. I'm surprised we managed to get out of it in one piece. I'm just glad about that. But on the last lap, I ran it in hard on the 20, and Jonathan Norman, he really kept a tight line, and I was on it as hard as I could, but just couldn't get a run on him into the last corner. And he's good. He kept the line there, and I just had nowhere to go on him. And he raced a good race, and he deserved it.
You know,
he had the car.
Ryan, you know what you could do to really help it out? Pick up your cell phone and call Alex Nagy for a couple of tips. Alex will give you some. That guy was a genius in those cars. He'd give you a couple tips. I know he would.
I can think of another guy you can give a call to, and that would be Donnie Thompson.
Donnie Thompson.
There's a guy from Ontario that ran Legends and was just almost unbeatable.
Yeah.
And a lot of talent there.
Oh, you want to believe it. But it was great sitting down with you tonight. So much appreciated. And that beautiful Legend car with the number one green. Are you going to keep it like that now?
Yeah, well, we only just got it recently wrapped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was sketchy yesterday, but I just wanted to keep it all in one piece. It looked excellent.
It did.
Yeah,
and, beautiful looking car. Showed up really well on the track.
Well, Dennis loves a good looking car, so he loves a good looking driver, too. I mean, you know.
Here we go. Yeah, okay.
And on that note.
Well, Jerry, that's your department. I'm not going to touch this.
Right. Thanks so much for stopping by. We really do appreciate it. And, good luck the rest of the way. We'll definitely keep our eye on you. And when you get that first win, make sure you send me an email. We'll get you back on this program, or we're going to
We'll let you know. And thanks for having thanks for letting us have you at the track. It was really good. I mean, it really adds a lot to it. And Mike James right now is bringing a lot to it. He's getting better all the time, and he's definitely going to get something off of you guys too as well. So, yeah, it adds to it for sure.
Yeah, it was a good bit of fun.
Yeah, thanks.
That's what it was.
A good bit of fun.
It was a good bit of fun.
What was that word you used last night?
I'm going to get a third language, Newfoundlandese.
Newfoundlandese. He's going to learn to speak Newfoundlandese.
The hospitality of your mom and dad on Friday night with me downtown was awesome.
Hey, he wasn't any good at the track on Saturday. He wasn't helping at all. Was that you?
That was. That was Brad.
Brad gave him a whole lot of advice, not one thing about racing.
I think it was a lot to do with drinking.
Yeah, I think that's what they were doing.
They were buying.
Oh,
I think your mother...
And there goes the racing budget, too.
I think your mother was just keeping us just so we didn't have an empty glass so we wouldn't wander off anywhere.
Yeah, well, okay. That's
exactly.
Good.
See?
That stuff can happen.
Call her and leash.
Yeah. That would really help. Ryan, thanks so much, buddy. Sure do appreciate it. Joey McComb, NASCAR Pinty's driver, is going to step in next. He was in the Edward Collins 125 last night. Started coming on real strong in the race. just about got up there and contended. He did have brake issues. We'll get Joey all suited up, get the headset on him, and we'll definitely hear from Joey McComb. Quite a weekend. You know, you go down George Street, one of the main streets here in St. John's, Newfoundland, and it's the bar section. It's the party section. Walking down there the first time where we're walking right down the main street, and I look up at the lamp poles, and what do I see? I see all these pennants on the flagpoles, and I look up, and I see Joey McComb's name, and I went, right on. Look at this. Edward Collins 125 with NASCAR guest driver Joey McComb, and we got him tonight live with us on Racetime Radio. Joey, how about it? Man, what a time out here on the Rock.
Oh, it's awesome. I've been here a few times now, and I just love coming every time I come, and I was joking around a bit, but I can move here tomorrow. I feel like everyone's just so friendly, and here we are tonight at the Winging It, just having a great old time. Place is packed. Everyone's having a great time, and it's awesome here. I just love it.
Unbelievable. Brake issues last night. First, let's talk about the race car. Watched you in time trials, busted off a first pretty good lap, and then you spun her around. Were you working on the brakes?
Yeah, we had...
I nailed it then.
We had some issues in practice, and then just too much rear brake in the car. It was the first time the car was on the track, so, I mean, the guys did a really awesome job preparing the car, building that car up. Something small is just going on with those rear brakes. We still had that problem throughout the race, but I just learned how to adjust the driving and just had so much fun out there, and I really just can't say enough about, you know, Josh Collins racing, putting that car together with Eastbound Speedway, Patty Squires. Man, the hospitality here has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, unbelievable. On our side of the fence as well, it was really, truly amazing. Looking back at the race, Joey, you were back towards the back of the field at the beginning of it. Now, there was a lot of cautions at the beginning part of that race. It took a little while, but you guys did get a long green flag run. And what I noticed was when you got that long green flag run, you started to march your way forward. How did you like the racetrack, and could you feel the progression? Did you have a thought, man, I can make it to the front?
Yeah, I mean, we had it was a long race, obviously, 125 laps, and they don't count the caution, so it's something different than what we do normally in our NASCAR Pinty's races where we do count the caution laps. So you really have to understand how long this race actually is, and just take your time. And so at the beginning, we started in ninth, and I just wanted to get some clear track because we had those brake issues. I almost wanted to figure the car out, and that's all we did. We just took our time, and once I figured the car out and understood what I could and couldn't do with it, then we were able to just kind of start, you know, coming back towards the front. But 10 laps to go, we got a flat tire, and that was it for us. I think we were running fourth or fifth at the time.
So. Yeah, you were up to fourth. I seen the 29 behind you. He was starting to come. I could see the heat mounting. It seemed like when the yellow flag came out, you got a chance to cool things down on the restart, and for the first, say, five or six laps, on came the number 125 on the side of the door, scored us the 12. You started to come, and I went, hey, McComb's got something here. He's on the move. But as soon as you got a few more laps in, I could see you back in the turn up, and I knew, okay, the brake issue's coming into play. Brad reported it. He was talking to your dad and Frank, and we knew you had brake issues, and I was kind of hoping, I don't know, that it would go away because you were really starting to look good on that track.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it went away, but it is what it is. I mean, we can't really do much about that. I just had so much fun. The track, I mean, it's a really cool track. Like, it's nothing like anything else out there in Canada. So the way it's shaped with the front stretch being integrated with the drag strip, so it makes corner one very challenging. And especially makes corner four very challenging because you go into three, and every time that I went in there, I kind of went, oh, I could have went deeper, or I, you know, didn't use enough brake, or I used too much brake, or you know, small things like that. And then you get to the corner four, and you realize you still got some more turn to do, and you really had to be patient, so you had to train yourself to, you know, not jump on the gas too soon. A very unique track. So, I mean, it'd be really fun to bring our Pinty's cars here, and it's something different. I mean, I don't think... I think setup would be a big, big part, and it would be really interesting to see who could catch on the quickest.
Yeah, because I know watching last night, it looks like as you come out of two, that's kind of a little uphill grade, and then it's a downhill grade into three. So I could see, like you say, I couldn't see four. I'm not sure if the officials could see Ford, judging by what Brad was telling me was going on in that corner. But the track, as you said, are an unusual configuration, but it almost looked like going into three, you got a lot of help to build up a lot of speed going into that corner.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like, just you're spot on what you noticed. I tried moving my line around, you know, I think I tried probably 100 different lines. And it seemed like, you know, there wasn't really one that really stood out to be in the fastest way around. So there's definitely two grooves there. Like, you could run the outside and make it work, and you could run the inside and make that work too. You could go down the backstretch right on the bottom of the track and still make corner 3-4 work. You had that hill that you come up out of two. So if you were higher coming out of two, you seemed to get a little more momentum. And then that hill going down to three, it just shot you into there, right? And you could take it, you know, right into four. So it's almost like corner three doesn't exist, and you're straight into four.
Yeah, wild-looking racetrack, the D shape on the back. That's what it looked like to us. And if you carry the momentum, but sure enough, on the exit of four, you had to back it up or you're going to go out of bounds and maybe out onto that drag strip. I know some funny talk before the race. If you had won last night's race, the Edward Collins Contracting 125, you would have got the trophy, and we would have had a lot of fun taking that back to Ontario. Man, what a trophy.
Yeah, I think I would have had to have got another seat for it. It's as big as a person, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have left it here, I can guarantee it. You would have found a way to get that sucker home.
No, I would have made sure that we got that out of Josh's hands, but no, it's a really cool trophy. Like, and again, they just do things that one step higher here. It's just, everything's got to be just, you know, like, you know what, we're just going to take an engine and we're going to make that a trophy. Like, yeah. Who's done that?
Yeah, nobody that I know of. So big race last night. We got a big weekend coming up in the NASCAR Pindy Series next weekend. Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, track you've been on lots. What's the plans for the CBRT team?
So for CBRT, we've got the number one of Robin Buck. He's going to run three races for us this year. He obviously finished second in the season opener at CTMP. He was really coming on strong at Toronto Indy. He was up to fourth, you know, making a pass for third, got into some lap traffic, got into the wall. The Indy will do that to you. And now with this race coming up, like, really looking forward to it because, yeah, it's probably Robin's best track out there. I think we really got a shot at a win with the improvements we made to the car. Robin is a phenomenal driver with great feedback. So I think, you know, it's just going to be really awesome. We're hoping to have another one or two cars in the field, too. You never know. Maybe I'll try and jump in the seat of one. And I had so much fun there at the beginning of the year. And I just want to go out and just have some fun again. And that's a race to do it.
Yeah, it sure is. Kevin Porteous did some fantastic runs for you. The Trans Am influence that you've had, do you see a difference? Do you feel a difference on Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in the Pindy's car when you're out there?
Like with the Trans Am cars, it's different animals, but seat time is so valuable. Anytime you get a chance to go in a race car and go out and race or practice or lap, anything, it's just so valuable. It just helps build your confidence. I feel bad for Kevin this year. Speaking of Kevin, he had some rough luck. It seems like every race we go to is just something, you know, keeps jumping up and biting us, whether it's a mechanical issue or whether it's, you know, just an incident that happens on the racetrack. You know, we're just trying to finish the year off strong with Kevin, and we'll look towards 2017 and where we want to regroup and what we want to do over the winter and see how we want to grow CBRT for 2017 and beyond.
Joey, when you talked about the seat time being so valuable, I mean, a Trans Am car around CTMP versus the Pinty's car around CTMP, Ron Fellow said to us, the fast way is the fast way. That's all there is to it. Is that true when you're, you know, depending on the vehicle you're on the track with?
You know what? I've taken a Chevy Cobalt out there and learned a ton and been able to apply that to the Pinty Series cars. So seat time is just so valuable. When you look at the Trans Am cars and the Pinty's cars, they run about the same lap times at Mossport or CTMP. We haven't been able to race the Trans Am cars there, but we've taken it out and done lapping days, and it's about the same lap time, 123, 124. So very comparable. The car's a little bit different. You can do different things with the Trans Am car at CTMP that you can't do with a Pinty Series car. But at the end of the day, like, it's a race car. It's four tires, a wheel, gas brakes. Like, you just need to get out and get the seat time.
It makes sense to me. I can understand that on a road course especially, hey?
I thought you were leaving last night. Is there a story we need to know about? Or they told me you were flying out early this morning.
No story. I wasn't going early this morning. My folks went early this morning. And, you know, Josh, he wanted me to stick around. And they said they were doing this big Race Time radio show with the Wing in it. So we're going to stay here. They screeched me in today, which was interesting.
Is that why you're looking a little yellow?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got some cod left on my lips here.
Oh, man. Good for you, Joey McComb. Man, what a great weekend. I'll tell you, it was a highlight of our weekend. See you out here as well. I know we're on the flight together, heading back to TO tomorrow, at least I think we are. You, WestJet?
Oh, Air Canada.
Oh, we're not on the same one. We're going to beat you home, too. We're going to
be
on a WestJet. Yeah.
What is
WestJet's always quicker, just so you know. Well, over the water anyway. I don't know. Joey, it's been great catching up with you. Good luck next weekend. I know I'll see you at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. And good on you, man. You came out and did a respectable job. And next year, you'll have to get back out here and then... we'll give you a hand. We'll be out with you. We'll give you a hand. We'll grab that trophy and smuggle it back to your place.
Yeah, no, Josh and I are going to start working on the car for next year. So I'll be back here again. I just want to thank everyone for bringing me out here and doing that race. It was really special. It means a lot. And just had so much fun and just love the people here.
Unreal. That's Joey McComb, NASCAR Pindy Series driver. Of course, Canada's best race team. You know what? We're going to hit our final break of the show. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Spencer Gallagher. He's getting his Chevy ready for the Silverado 250 weekend. And, of course, we're going to hear from some more great people out here on the east coast of Canada, all the way out in the Rock. We are in Newfoundland. We are winging it, and we are having a great time. Come on out and join us. Still got a little bit of time left. We'll be back live on Racetime Radio. Stay with us. We will be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is the place to be this Labor Day weekend at the Chevrolet Silverado 250. It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the summer with Camping World Trucks and Pinty Series. The holiday weekend includes the Can-Am 200, Family Action Zone, and much more. Plus, we have free admission for kids 16 and under. You can come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250 this Friday to Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Discount tickets until Wednesday at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
I'm Michael Bee.
Every week on The Feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The Feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talks.
Sirius XM, channel 167.
Baseball is the greatest game in the world.
On MLB Network Radio, you'll hear the latest news and expert analysis of America's national pastime.
Dominoes falling in a number of different directions.
Interviews with all-stars.
Mike Trout.
Managers and executives.
Chatting with Billy Beane.
Play-by-play of the biggest games.
This ball is gonna go!
And on-site broadcasts from baseball's most important moments.
Down here in the clubhouse, champagne is flowing.
MLB Network Radio, Sirius 209, XM 89, and on your smartphone with the Sirius XM app.
SiriusXM's Radio Classics has dramas from the golden age of radio.
The Shadow Knows.
Escape.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
From mysteries.
I know many strange tales.
Mystery is my hobby.
To sci-fi.
Countdown for blast-offs.
Adventures in time and space.
Dramas from the golden age of radio.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
We're on Radio Classics, SiriusXM 82.
Come on in.
We will develop a commercial-free music channel that plays nothing but hits from the 90s. Alanis, Ace of Base, Will Smith.
You get the idea.
And we'll have Downtown Julie Brown host a weekly countdown.
We'll call it...
The 90s on 9.
That already exists on SiriusXM Channel 9.
Okay, people, I need to know these things, all right? Throw me a frickin' bone here.
90s on 9 is also on the SiriusXM app.
Watch your speed.
Getting you up to speed on all things motorsports.
It's Race Time Radio.
Welcome
And welcome back, everyone, live tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Going to continue the conversation right now. The Silverado 250 weekend is coming up at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park this weekend, and we're going to be looking for a driver in a Chevy to win that Silverado 250 weekend. Got a funny feeling that our next guest is going to have an awesome shot to go to victory lane. He's been at this racetrack before. He's ran both Pinty Series and the truck. Of course, I'm talking about the number 23 Legend Chevrolet. We got Spencer Gallagher with us. Spence, I haven't talked to you in a coon's age. How you doing, buddy? Well, I'm not hearing Spence, but that's okay. We'll hear him. Okay, not hearing Spencer, but when we... Oh, maybe we do now. Spencer, are you there? Oh, I can hear it now. Spencer, how you doing, buddy? Okay, now I can't hear Spencer. The girls will drop the call, and they will reestablish connection. I know we'll get them up on that hotline, but Spencer Gallagher is one of those guys everyone is going to have to watch in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. He comes into this race with not only experience in one form of vehicle, he comes into this race with a lot of experience. He's raced Xfinity, of course, a winner in the ARCA presented by Menards Series. And, yeah, he's done some winning and been in that NASCAR Pinty Series. He knows this racetrack, and he is going to be a threat to win this coming weekend at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. And when we get him on the hotline, we'll be chatting it up with Spencer. He had a busy weekend. He did end up having a little bit of trouble this past weekend, Jerry. He was in a race, and, man, it happened to poor Spence.
Yeah, he took a bad turn at Michigan this weekend. That was kind of an ugly wreck. If you get to see the video, it is on NASCAR.com. Have a look at it because that was a scary wreck. And as we mentioned, he was more concerned about Christopher Bell than he was himself, but it was just one of those deals. You know, Bell lost it. The truck started to turn. Spencer's coming on the high side, full tilt, nowhere to go, wham. And you could tell it shook him up. So, hey, kudos to the guy because he'll be in a car or in a truck, rather, when we get back to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. As rough as that may have been, he'll be in it.
Oh, yeah, and he'll really enjoy it. You got to know Spencer Gallagher. He's one of those guys that is he's fired up all the time. He's excited to be in behind the wheel of the truck. He is definitely gives you 110% every time he's behind the wheel of that GMS Chevrolet. And what a team they've got put together this year. And multi-teams, they do a great job. A lot of information going into those Chevrolets. And the Silverado 250 weekend is definitely on their calendar. They got it circled. They want to win this one.
Well, no doubt about it. He's got that bow tie on the front of the truck. Another one looked better than the Chevy trophy with a bow tie on your truck. For some reason, I don't know. I've been around racing for a while, and every time you get somebody like that, a manufacturer that does that, it has to make them cringe when it's not their make that takes that trophy home. So, obviously, there might be a little extra pressure on those guys.
That's right. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We'll let the studio work away at getting Spencer up on the hotline. But until we get Spencer, what do you say we bring the conversation back here to Winging It out here in St. John's, Newfoundland? It was a dynamite weekend, and we got a real special guest sitting in with us right now. Got to welcome him to Racetime Radio. We got the owner of Eastbound International Speedway. We got Mr. Pat Squires himself with us. Patty, how you doing, buddy? Are you having fun tonight or what?
Wow, man. Happy to be here. Racetime Radio is a special event for us just to visit our track and be part of Winging It. Really appreciate it.
First of all, let me be the guy to say unreal what you have built out here. The team of people you got assembled to stand in that beautiful castle tower that you have built at that speedway and overlook everything that you guys have done. I am totally in awe. I used to own a racetrack, did for 14 years, and I know what you're going through. I didn't build it. You did, and you're continuing to make. You're making one of the best facilities, if not the best facility on oval track here in Canada. I can attest to it. Been here, seen it. It's unbelievable. What's it like for you to own this and to go out and look at it all the time?
Expensive.
That sounds like a racetrack owner.
Well, you know, I really like the castle look. It wasn't so much to be a castle at the time, but I wanted to build something special. I needed to have something that could have some corporate support. And in order to get Newfoundland on the map, I started out by trying to envision what would we have in Newfoundland that I've seen all over North America. So visiting all of the tracks pretty well, I found myself looking at everywhere, including Bristol, and I think we had a little mini Bristol here. We found building the track and the castle and the stuff and been able to have our people look over the track and see every part of the car was the way to go. And we're pretty proud of it, and Newfoundland hopefully will end up getting a lot of people come from Newfoundland to all of North America and race in NASCAR continuously.
You know, Pat, today we were out, the guys, we did a little tourist, a little bit of sightseeing. We went up to Signal Hill, and first thing I noticed, of course, the castle on top, and I went, hey, did Patty see that? Because it looks pretty damn close to what he's got at the Speedway.
I think you're on George Street looking up.
We were a few times. We were looking up from winging it.
There were a couple of times I think Brad was laying down looking up.
Yeah, that could have been too.
Anyway, you couldn't have a better time in Newfoundland, I can assure you. The people here are real good. The sponsors, the corporate support, all of the people I got working for me, I can assure you that we're doing the best job possible for NASCAR and all of our sponsors.
Incredible, to say the least. What you guys have accomplished in a short period of time is it's over miraculous. It's gone way past that. And that must be the kind of guy you are. You probably, as Mike told us, gets a vision. And when he gets a vision, look out, because you activate.
I certainly do. Sometimes I don't know when to stop. But between the jigs and the reels, yeah, we turned around and turned this into a great track. And we hope to see a big future with NASCAR racing and hopefully some Pinty Series in the future and probably some truck racing. We don't know. But the bottom line is we built it so that Newfoundlanders could have the same advantage as any other province in Canada and in North America.
Well, you've done it, my friend. Take the owner's hat off now and put the competitor hat on, because I know when I spoke to you Friday night, you were kind of hoping that your race car was going to be ready to go. We've seen your son out there last night, but we didn't see your race car out there. What was the problem? And do you frequent the racetrack from the driver's seat as much as you want?
Well, no, not really. I started out years ago, and I wanted racing to be in Newfoundland, and I ended up supporting one of my friends who wanted to build a racetrack, and I thought, well, okay, maybe financially I can help him because I haven't got the time. However, we ended up having no race cars, so I ended up buying most of the race cars that came to Newfoundland. I brought them in and, you know, got racers into them. I ended up racing the car myself, winning the race, and then selling the car, and that was the high point. And eventually we thought, okay, maybe we can buy a bigger, better track and get race car really happening in Newfoundland, and I guess that's what we did. And when you ask, did I race this weekend? No. I ended up working on my son's car. I ended up working on some other friends' cars. As a matter of fact, I think you witnessed me putting the motor in with the backhoe, with one of the number 11 car. And, you know, I help all the racers. I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the boys on the field. I got people running the track, Bob Smith and Mike and Sarah and all these people. They do a great job, and I'm proud of them. And basically, I just want to be one of the boys. So I will be racing the next couple of races because I will take about 4 hours, I guess, to straighten my car out.
You'll get it all straightened around. You'll get it going. What's it like racing against your son and racing against Josh? And there's a lot of tough competitors out there. You're growing a healthy crop.
Not really.
Yes, really.
These guys are not that tough. As a matter of fact, I feel that it's a matter of me getting 4 or 5 hours in my car. And these little guys, these guys starting out like Josh Collins and Shannon Squires and the 74 car and all these guys, they'll be probably 5 or 6 car lengths behind me.
Look at laying the gauntlet down, Brad. Well, you
didn't tell me that, Patty. We had a long talk in the trailer on Friday, and one thing I noticed, and you made mention of it, but you were out on the racetrack with the backhoe helping one of the guys at the track lift the motor in, and being a track owner, I had a track for 3 years, and I've been around the sport for a long time. And I got to say, that's something you don't see very often. Even last night during the 125, I saw you going out with the backhoe and picking cars up off of the track. And like you said, just being in the middle of the pit and wanting to be one of the guys. But at the end of the day, you're a track owner that's putting a ton of effort in this sport, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm really meant for. I mean, everybody are meant for different things. And for me, I would like to just be a racer sometimes. But I realize that some of these guys don't have the ability to get where they need to go. Starting with bringing cars into Newfoundland and then, helping guys get them together. I bought most of the parts I could buy all over Newfoundland or all over Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and so on. Brought them into Newfoundland so guys could get started. Now we have guys that are selling parts to the racers. They're getting very competitive. And, we're beginning to become very good racers. And we're going to be very competitive in the world.
Pat, you can probably, knowing you, you put it down and you can do whatever you want to do, but if there was a magical wish that you could have right now, what would it be? What could somebody or what is it that's inside you right now that would be something that you really, really would like?
For me, I got some guys who started out in Bandoleros. I got some guys who are very good in the sportsmen, some guys who are good in the legends. I would like for those people to move forward and become the top racers in Canada and if not the U.S., in North America. And I believe that there are several people on our team already with, Josh, my son Shannon, and other people. They could really go the distance if they want, and I would like to support them to get there. You know, there's so many young kids right now that are starting off, and they're so excited about racing. And if anything, I would like to support them to go the distance.
You know, it all starts with a dream, and you got to take that dream and you got to move it to make it a reality. My son, and I look at my son, he said to me as a youngster, he said, "Dad, I want to be in NASCAR." He wanted to drive in NASCAR. And he and I sat at Daytona when he was about, I'm going to say he's about 12 years old at that point. He had raced for 5 years in a junior late model leading up to that. We're sitting at Daytona, and I said, "You know, Joe, to get your dream to realize it, to be here at Daytona in a NASCAR Sprint Cup car, that's a lofty dream. That's going to be hard. You got to look at it. There's only 43 drivers on this whole racetrack. Out of millions, and there's only 43 of them that can say they did it." He said, "I know, but I'm not going to quit. I'm gonna be in NASCAR." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm trying to say to him, Joe, you got to go after your dreams, but, you know, you got to be one of 43. It's going to be pretty hard." Look down there, and I said, "You know how many crew chiefs there are and how many team members?" And I said, you could be down on that side." He said, "No way, Dad. I'm going racing." And you know what? Today, my son works on a NASCAR Sprint Cup team. No, he's not racing in behind the wheel, but he's living his dream. But you got to make it happen, right? And that's what I guess I'm trying to say is you got to have the dream, but you also got to activate it. And by the sounds of it, you're helping not only young racers, but you're helping everybody activate that. And without guys like you, none of these guys could activate it and be where they want to be. So hats off to you for doing what you do.
Well, your son, 43 out of a million is pretty good.
Yeah.
I can assure you. You know, the number 42 car that won tonight?
Yes.
Well, I tell you what. Perseverance, young kid, won this race tonight in sprint. Wow. That shows me something. That means that people who really put their, I would say, shit together.
Yes.
Really, really make it happen. So
When I get home tomorrow, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to go on my Racetime Radio computer, and I'm going to email you personally an interview that I got with Kyle Larson when Racetime Radio started, He was, I don't know whether he was 12 or 13 years old, and couldn't wait to tell his story, and he was going to get into a dirt car for the first time. You got to hear it. And that was Kyle Larson. He won his first NASCAR Sprint Cup race. And you know what? It isn't going to be too long. We're going to say, remember that young guy that started at Eastbound International Speedway? He just won his first NASCAR Sprint Cup race. And I know Patty Squires, wherever he is that day, is going to crack a smile because you're going to have something to do with it.
Well, Eastbound International Speedway will definitely bring some players to the table, I can assure you. And to win Sprint Cup, that would mean that we're going to have to put a whole lot more into it, and the drivers are really doing a great job, and hopefully they'll make it that distance.
Well, you're going to have to sell a lot of island RVs, right? You're going to have to do a lot more work.
You're going to have to,
man. Well, there you go. That gives you the incentive to get up for work tomorrow, doesn't it?
Absolutely. My incentive to get up for work is just to make everybody else happy.
Well, you've done it. You got three guys from Racetime Radio and a whole herd listening in the whole weekend long, Jerry, that are...
Pat, to your point, the drivers we've talked to in the pits at Eastbound International Speedway and the drivers we interviewed here today, they show the same desire and passion that I'm hearing from you. You're going to have champions coming out of here. And these guys are young. They're young in the sport. They're learning their way. They're willing to go over to the mainland to learn. That tells me they really want it. They've got the drive. I know my son and I know Joe's son, they've been in racing with us for all their lives, and that drive is keeping them at it, and they're getting better at what they do every day. Don't tell Josh I said that.
No. Okay, Josh, plug your ear.
And the one other thing that we've noticed, and everybody's been great to us since we've been here, Patty, and I heard of your name. I didn't know you from a hole in the ground. I enjoyed the time we had together in the rain the other day in the trailer talking about everything, and you're a first-class gentleman. But the effort that you've put in the sport here, you have the respect of everybody in the field. Because they don't say Mr. Squires. They say Patty. Patty, help me with this. Patty, help me with that. That's from all the competitors that's at your racetrack, and that's something very special. You're putting a lot into it, but I'll tell you what, all those competitors, they appreciate 110% what you're doing, bud.
I agree, and, I have full respect from everybody there, and I expect that because at the end of the day, we're all Newfoundlanders. We're here to have some fun, and I created this place for people to have fun, and when there's no fun, then there's no good. So hopefully everybody continues to have the same kind of passion about racing as I have, and to get themselves from Newfoundland to Daytona Beach, I'm going to help them do it.
Well, it's right across the water and around the horn, right? How would you
get
there?
Been there.
Have you? Seen a boat tied up at the wharf here today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Oh, that's a big one. That's me buddy.
Yeah? Did you go water skiing with him?
No, I didn't go water skiing, but I got a hat.
Did you? You got a hat.
I end up getting a hat saying, to Pat, thanks for everything, and away he goes.
Amazing. Good stuff. You're going to have to get your butt moving and win a race. We want to interview you as a race car driver with a checkered flag.
Well, you can come to the next race if you like, because I can do that in one race.
Oh, here
that's
you
pretty
go.
Confident.
That's confidence.
And that's with ball tires.
I think I'm going to come over and be the spotter for him. I want to see all that.
Now, don't talk to Shannon about that because he won't believe me. Because I said to Shannon before I came to the race just this past weekend, I went up and put the radiator in. I got a few things straightened out. I said, Shan, I said, buddy. He was talking about tires. I said, listen, there's only 75 laps on those tires. I can take those tires that I got there and beat you guys. He wasn't too happy. He said, the car won't fit in the trailer, Dad.
Well, listen, now, when you're hammering on Shannon and all those guys, just want you to know that I watched on YouTube somewhere something about pinks.
Yeah, we done that.
I watched on YouTube somewhere. I wanted to get to know Patty Squires, and I seen something on there where you did that, and it cost you something.
Oh, it cost me something. I had a beautiful 1958 Chevy, and I bought it in Florida about 15 years ago, and I thought this would be a great project for me and my son.
Right.
Shannon was a young kid, and I thought, son, I'm a mechanic. I can take this car. I can tool it the way we want to do it, put it on the track, drive it on the street. You know, I can rebuild a start, motor, alternator, engine, And it's a 58 Chevy, so, I mean, let's make it the best it can be. He said, okay, Dad, no problem. So I brought it home from Florida, and I put it in the garage, and I said, can't wait to get at it. Where's Shannon to? He's gone.
Yeah.
Didn't know where he was to. Kids, you know what they're like.
Yep.
So I wanted to get him into racing. I wanted to get him to understand mechanics. I'm a mechanic myself. And I thought, well, this would be a great way to start. You know, the carburetors are gummed up. I'll take them off. The distributor, let's pull that out.
Yeah.
Take the, you know. Anyway, we started out, and finally, after many years of suffering where Shannon didn't show up, yeah. I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll do something special with this car. So we had a Andy Dunn Memorial.
Right.
Which was a very special event for a friend of mine, Chris Dunn, who lost his son some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, Chris, here's what I'll do. I'll take this car. I'll put a big block in it. I'll bump it up with 1,500 horsepower. We put a turbocharger on it. And I said, we'll race together, and I'll give up the car. Like, if I lose the race, you take the car. So let's go Pinks. He said, man, would you do that? I said, I would. And that was something special that we didn't have in Newfoundland before because we have IHRA status at our track. And I said, it would be a great way to start for people to realize that, you know, I got a car that I don't really need, and if I can put it up, I'll do it. And we did it. And, of course, I lost my car.
Oh, man.
But you kept your son.
I kept my son. Chris was happy. He was proud that he won the race. We lost the engine just coming out of the track. But at the end of the day, losers are losers, and that's me.
Oh, man. You know what?
But in a good way.
Yeah, and you didn't frown upon it. You just went out and said, I'm going to beat him next time, right?
Absolutely. I told him I want to buy the car back. I want to set it up, and then we're going to have a street car shootout because it's actually a street car. And I think that's the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I bought the car back last week.
Oh, did you? You got the car back?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
And I think he donated the money or whatever, and I'm going to get the car sorted out, and we're going to run at it again.
No way. Are you going to run the same guy?
Absolutely.
Same deal?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, you're good. Okay, but this time here, you're going to have it dialed in.
I'm going to test it a few times, yes.
Is Shannon going to help?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
He's an oval track guy. He wants to be an inch away from everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I am too, but, I got boat tracks, so getting two tracks running, simultaneously is quite a challenge.
Unbelievable. This has been a total slice, and we're up along the side of the clock here, but from all of us, from not just us here on Racetime Radio, but absolutely everybody that's a Canadian race fan or race fan anywhere, they can guarantee when they come to the Rock and they come to the St. John's area, they got a reason to now. They have got a number one race facility that's only going to continue to get bigger and better. Not only an oval track, a drag strip, IHRA comes through here. You can get involved with that. And how about the Hoedown? Big concert guy.
Well, first of all, I want to say that if any Canadian or any North American person or anybody around the world wants to come to Newfoundland, they'll certainly have a great time. We'll make sure of that. And in regards to the Hoedown, that's the time itself.
You always have a blast. I can see that.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to rename that. We'll have to ask Mike James. And we're going to have Mike on here for a second. Maybe, Brad, you could give Mike mic.
It's our Chevrolet Country Festival.
Well, I was thinking we should just rename it Patty's Party.
Oh, we could do that, too.
Hey, Mike, what do you think? Yeah, I could see you doing that. Just call it Patty's Party.
That means I'd have to redesign the logo. So
that's not a problem for you, Mike. You've been redesigning logos within hours.
Yeah.
Because I know this much. Every time I turn around, I says, we're going to change something. Mike, he says, what? I says, you got to do it now.
Yeah.
The best part is when we go to the end of the season banquet that's coming up this November, this one's going to be a special one for us. The first NASCAR champion is going to be officially crowned before they head down to North Carolina, Charlotte.
North Carolina, yeah.
For the official unveiling. But Patty will be there, and I'll show him something. And I've learned that not to show him the unfinished product because he gets into it.
You know that.
And the next thing you know, I'm working till 6 in the morning trying to make adjustments. So, but it's been a great pleasure to work with Pat and the team. There's four of us that work together, Bob Smith, Sarah Squires, and Patty and myself, and we've been in the trenches for 2 years, and I've traveled all over the world, from the Middle East to right across Canada, United States, visited a lot of tracks. And when I joined up with this team 3 years ago, I can tell you this is a stellar project. And I told Patty a long time ago that I'd go into the trenches in any war with him. I've seen him do some amazing stuff, such as clear off 30 acres in 7 days.
Parking. Yeah. I seen it.
I saw that parking lot too. That is some deal. That is.
Well, the crushed stone came in the day of the Chevrolet Eastbound Hoedown. On the day of, there's about 20 or 30 dump trucks coming in, and I said, "Patty, come down. We got to organize a concert right now. You know, the band Perry's here.
Hey, yeah.
They're doing sound check, and there's a freight line of dump trucks in 11 a.m. an hour before opening. I went up, and there was a parking lot." So at that point, then, I knew that we had something special. And for the last 2 years and a month, it's been the ride of my life. And anybody that hasn't been to Eastbound Park, when they do come, they get a little bit overwhelmed. And what he has built is definitely a dream. And it's a dream of all of us on the team. And we're going to be doing some crazy stuff in 2017. There was one point, Patty said, "Is there anything that I've never given you?" And I said, "Only once, when I asked you for a helicopter." But
no, you can't have that.
Well,
I didn't say that.
No.
he actually said to me later on when I complained about it, he actually said, "You didn't ask the right way." One night when we had the World Series of Monster Trucks, we had 14,000 people at Eastbound Park. And I said to Patty the night before, I said, "Wouldn't it be cool if we brought the camper from Islander RV in with a helicopter and let Bigfoot hit it?"
Oh, my God.
But this was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
so.
Michael.
I didn't get the helicopter.
I phoned my friend and said, "Look, you know, I need a helicopter for the morning." He said, "What do you need it for?" He says, "Anything you want, Pat, we'll take care of it." I said, "Okay, well, I need you to lift the camper up and bring it to the middle of the field and let the Bigfoot hit it." He says, "I can't do that, man. You're crazy."
Anything can happen at Eastbound, and it's been a world-class facility. The Nitro Circus was just there. We had full crowd for that. The vision of Eastbound was always, you know, even though we're westbound of St. John's, it was always about Nashville, Daytona, everybody looking east. A lot of touring, one of my touring days, stopped in Halifax. In 2017, you're going to see some really cool stuff that's never been to Newfoundland and Labrador, and that's what the team's focus is. We brought IHRA here. Patty, 2 years ago, said it would be great to have NASCAR here. And the next thing I know, I was talking to my friends in Saskatoon at their track.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, I had Alex Nagy's cell phone. And I walked in the boardroom, and Patty said, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "NASCAR." And it took us 2 years, and it's finally here. And Kevin Nevelin and the team from Daytona, it's been a pleasure working with that team. When me and Pat actually went down to the dealer meetings at the Daytona 500, I looked at him, and the castle was up on the big screen, and the first question they asked us on the stage was, "What's the deal with the castle?" So,
yeah,
there's a madman.
She's a beauty.
It is that.
He likes Castle Rocks, but Pat is a bit of a madman. He's got a vision. And like you talked about earlier on, the competitors. I've worked with Josh Collins in the Pindy Series, as well as the Governor's Cup down south at New Smyrna, the World Series Asphalt. And talking through the pits, I do the commentary a lot, so I talk to a lot of the teams. What he has envisioned has now been seeded in a lot of these young kids, and I'm telling you right now, we will be there. Last year, we joined IHRA. We had Darian Legg, second in the world in junior dragsters, just 12 years old.
Yeah.
And it was the first year of IHRA for us, and we joined the world stage in the first year in Memphis, and we're going back at it again this year with three cars, and we're looking for a championship on the drag strip, but we're also looking to get someone in Sprint Cup.
Yeah. Well, I can see you guys aren't too far from it, and no secret to NASCAR, but NASCAR's got to know that if there's any place in Canada that deserves a NASCAR Pinty's race and beyond, it is Eastbound International Speedway. We've seen it with our eyes, and I can attest to being coast to coast. This racetrack is the real deal. NASCAR will know that. They don't know anything. They will know everything that absolutely all of us do, but I can tell you from our eyes, you guys got it, and thanks so much for doing it. I can't wait to come back here. Can't wait to see what Patty dreams up next. Careful, Pat.
Well, I don't want to be a dreamer anymore. You know what? I want to be a realist, and I want to take this to the level that it needs to be. My dreaming is over. I'm of the age now where I want to take things to the next level, and the infrastructure of the facility has to be completed. The infrastructure of the business has to be completed, and the NASCAR dream needs to go to the direction that I want it to go, and that will be one of our people for sure in the next couple of years going to sprint.
And there you have it, everyone. Just an incredible weekend, just an incredible night here at Winging It. We got to thank absolutely everyone that we've been in touch with this weekend. Winging It, got to thank Eastbound International Speedway, Josh Collins and Collins Contracting, and Patty, and absolutely everybody. This has been an experience of a lifetime. And like you, I'm done dreaming. I'm coming back. I can guarantee all of us will be back here, and race fans really need to check it out.
I generally don't thank a lot of people. But Pat's been working me pretty hard, but I definitely want to thank my wife. She's listening there tonight. It was our anniversary last night.
Yes.
It was her birthday at the Hoedown, so I'm not into good books right now. But my little girl, she's 4 years old tomorrow, and so I'm looking for a day off tomorrow, Patty.
You can have the day off, Mike, and I want to thank you for all your hard work, and my daughter Sarah and Bob and everybody else who worked at Eastbound International Speedway. All the things we've done wouldn't be able to be completed without you guys. You go enjoy yourself with your family, and I just want to say I want to thank Racetime Radio for taking the time to be here in Newfoundland to see what we got, see what we're doing, see where we're going, identify our direction, and I appreciate the whole thing.
I'll be making a promise to you, buddy.
This is on record.
We will be reporting on Eastbound International Speedway.
And if you want to see my win, come to the next race.
Well, hey, listen, I want to call, and I know Mike will. The day Patty wins a race, you're coming on live with us, and we got to find out all about it.
We'll do that, because the next race I races, I will win.
Okay.
But
God, let's know.
Can you explain to him that he cannot win a race sideways? Sideways is not fast.
No, I used to be a dirt track driver, and we ended up with no forward bite. A couple of the shocks were bent up in the car, so I ran the race with it. My son Shannon ran the car before me. He ended up hitting some stuff and on the track, got into an accident. So he got his new car, which is the 18 car.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, I'll take the 20 car. Don't worry about it, son. So I'd done a few adjustments and sized things up. And I got out in the car, and I was drifting like crazy.
Yeah.
And I put on a show for the crowd. Like, I used to be a dirt track racer. So Tony Stewart's my favorite guy, as you can see. Here's my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Right
got
here.
The smoke
you
shirt
can see
on.
It.
There
it
is.
Smoke. Yeah. I actually bought his car. I have Smoke's car in my garage. The number 20 car. So I got out in the car, and I thought, okay, well, if I gets loose, it's no big deal. I can handle it. My age, no problem. So I end up drifting the whole race and ended up in sixth spot. But because I was drifting, of course, I had no forward bite. When I get some bite, young Josh Collins and Shannon and all these guys, they're frightened. They're thinking, man, don't let him get that car ripped up.
No.
Well, the good news, Patty, is this. Kyle Larson won today, and he was a dirt racer.
I respect that, and I see him race. I was impressed. I thought it was great. I'm very proud of him, and he done a good job.
Unbelievable. Great night here, live from Winging It. But that's going to do it for Racetime Radio tonight. Sure got to thank you all for tuning in coast to coast. We look forward to being back on the air here right on Sirius XM, Channel 167, next Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. See if Patty wins the race. If he does, we're going to make a hole for him. And we will be live from Canadian Tire Motorsport Park doing some live reports on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. We'll join Clairby Lang and Brad Gillies. Looking forward to that. We got a big bunch of Canadians coming in. You're going to be a Cameron Haley fan. How about Gary Clute? We heard from both tonight. They're both going to be a threat to win the race come the Silverado 250 next weekend at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. But that's going to do it for us. Man, we could talk for hours with these guys, but unfortunately, time is up. We will catch you next week live on Racetime Radio. Oh, by the way, thanks Susie and Glenda back in the studio. Good job for hooking us up tonight, and we'll catch you next week. Have a good one, everyone. We'll catch you next time on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com.
a message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.